Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilponian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so, but just not that.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get the park so close?
Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out? Who
let the dogs out? All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress.
Media Day.
Media Day at, boy, they don't waste time, huh? It's always Tuesday, isn't it?
Yes.
It just seems like they got there yesterday.
Fred button up there.
Well, they did.
They
well,
did. Except for the Pro Bowlers, they did.
Wow. Are you glad that we're not there? I mean, for this part of it.
Yeah.
On a day
I
like
think
today,
Media Day sucks.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't you like meeting the celebrities, though?
No. You never do. It's
there's
it
an
used
element,
to be more fun than it is now.
There's an element of it that is kind of interesting, but it's also so overwhelming.
There's also nice breasts. That's
the part of it that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I was trying to be diplomatic. That's when we met
Kelly
Pickler.
I would like to pickle her.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
You didn't meet her. You
kind
of stalked her a little bit. But
yeah.
Hey, listen, meet, stalk. What's the difference?
You'd be raising your game to stalk a woman, never mind meet her, so you keep your mouth shut.
All right. Well, we're here on a Tuesday at Gillette Stadium to talk about the Patriots, talk about the Super Bowl that's coming up, talk about what else? What do we got going on?
Pro Bowl.
Well, not much to talk about there. So
CBA.
Moss's injury.
CBA. Moss's injury that we find out it happened in Denver.
Great ratings for the Pro Bowl. You did see that my prediction came true, right?
It outdid the Grammys?
No,
not quite.
40% increase over last year.
Largest number since 2000. 40% increase from last year's Pro Bowl. Largest cable
All-Star
game audience ever, which is not good.
Is that one for one?
Huh?
I think so.
What other All-Star games are on cable networks?
I don't know. Even the NHL gets NBC, right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't watch.
I watched a little bit. I refused to
watch.
Saw Asante Samuel get toasted.
I didn't refuse to watch. I just didn't even think about it.
Joke of a game.
Yeah. You know? So, I guess...
didn't want to contribute to these fraudulent Nielsen numbers.
I don't. Why are you so upset about that?
Oh, because it's like Paul said. It's such a farce.
The numbers are what they are. You know, they're easily verified. They're not lying about it, but you know,
no, but they don't always give you all the facts either.
Right.
It could be the largest audience since 2000. You know, in a certain demographic from a certain time of night.
It's
you know,
like
from
statistics.
The 7 to 8 o'clock hour.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Statistics. Yeah. It's like you know the radio shows. You know, oh, we lead in you know between 6 and 10 with this demo. You know, it's.
This was household numbers nationwide, which is. For the total span of the Pro Bowl. It wasn't broken up into hours or demos. It was total number of U.S. households that watched.
Which is still an estimate. Correct.
So,
on a night when the Grammys had a pretty good
yes
show.
Yes would be the answer there.
Well, yeah, but it's an estimate, but it's the same apples-to-apples estimate they used last year. So
theoretically.
Yeah.
Unless they slipped an extra check to Nielsen.
Wow.
See, I think everyone has a price.
Unless there was a way that you could actually monitor who's watching, I don't believe them. Yeah. It's like in the old days when we were growing up, you and I, Fred.
Right.
The number one program every weekend.
On the radio?
Was Candlepins for Cash.
Locally, yeah.
Locally.
Yeah.
I just don't believe it. I don't know anybody who ever watched it. I don't believe that that was the most watched program on a Saturday. Was that this one-hour Candlepin show at like noon on a Saturday with Don Gillis.
Yeah.
I don't believe that that was the number one ranked thing. But that's what the ratings told us.
Yep.
I don't buy them. You know me. I don't buy anything.
Okay.
I don't buy this Randy Moss injury either.
Well, that's a good segue. Reports are out there both in the Herald and the Globe. Adam Kilgore and who had it in
oh,
the
my
Herald?
Arm. It's broken.
Karen report? Garrigan.
Karen.
Apparently and Mike Reese on by ESPN.
That during the Denver game, he separated his shoulder, played through it, was reported for the next three games with a shoulder injury, but it was actually a separated shoulder. Now, let's be fair here. There are different degrees of shoulder separation. You know, some like pop out instantly. You still strain the ligaments around it, but it's not really major. You know, so we don't know the severity.
Don't confuse a shoulder separation with a dislocated shoulder.
Good point.
A shoulder separation is the AC joint. It's not a pop out of. It's not the ball and socket. It's in more. It's in at the AC joint.
It's the separation, like the clavicle from the.
The acromion clavicular, I believe it means.
So.
And there are degrees of it, but a lot of people play with them and then have them cleaned up later or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of leeway in this injury.
And in those stories, there was also clarification about Moss's back, which we had sort of guessed throughout the year that was still a problem for him just from, you know, what we'd seen in the locker room and such. So there were two elements to that
what
story.
What was that part of it?
Just that in the game against the Falcons, which was week three, I guess, he injured his back, and that was sort of a problem for him too this season. So,
well, whoever the source was, wanted to get it out there that Randy Moss played through some pain this year, which I don't think that's no surprise. We knew that he was injured.
When I say I don't buy it, yeah. I do buy that. I think he played in pain this year. I do agree with that.
You know, so is there more to make of this than that? Anything?
No.
No?
It gets back to the whole thing, though, about the injuries not being out there. I mean, as people are ripping Moss for being shut down in games and no production, well, is he hurt? You know, are we being unfair and using his history against him when he really had a bad shoulder and couldn't, you know, could barely walk or stand up because his back hurts? It's one of those things. It's kind of like the whole conditioning run thing where everybody starts the year on PUP. Well, are they hurt or did they fail the conditioning run? Which is it? And are guys getting unfairly lumped in? Criticized.
Well, and part of it is that
what do you got to bring that up for?
Well, I think it's the same thing. If you're not going to inform the public, you're setting up the players to take a lot of cheap shots.
Plus, the
I didn't say you were wrong. I just said, what did you have to bring that up for?
Plus,
I'd be mad if I were Moss. If I really struggled all year,
and part of it is the information, not just on the Patriots injury reports, but on injury reports throughout the NFL. That information has been so devalued because you really don't know what it is. What's true, what's not true, who's not on there. So when you see Randy Moss pop up with a shoulder, you really don't know what to make of it, you know? And he did, I guess, for three games have that listed as, you know, a shoulder. He had, what, four touchdowns and 30-some-odd catches within
In the span, yeah.
Yeah, in that span of having the injury. So you really don't want, you know, so what Andy's point is that it hurts the players in the long run.
Especially a guy like him who gets a lot of criticism because of his history. And I actually think, I said to Eric, I think he, you know, take the injury report for whatever the hell it is. But I actually think he re-injured it in London on that hit when he left and the dive and everything. And I think based on that, if it really did happen in Denver and it re-injured whatever it was 3 weeks or a month later in London, my guess is it was an issue.
Yeah.
Just like I think the back was an issue as a 30-plus-year-old receiver who got Wednesdays off to go work with the strength and conditioning staff. That's why I think it's interesting that the ESPN Boston report said that was diagnosed after the season. I think that right there comes from the source, and I think the source is telling you that because we don't want to be fined for not having him, on the injury report.
And let, you know, Randy
or having him on there for something that says not injury related when there might have been.
You know, we talked about Moss when he got here about, well, you know, he's prone to injury and that type of thing. But he's been, since 07, remarkably durable for this team. And part of it could be that, hey, if I'm not out there, we don't have a chance. So whether he does it on his own or he's convinced to, he's been playing through pain. And so I think we need to, as fans, take that in consideration when we talk about Randy Moss. You know, and you know, so maybe we put up with a little bit of his divaness because in other areas he does think team first. I'm not trying to
give him a pass because he had these injuries or whatever. I'm not.
Well, that's the part that that I am sort of not buying, and I agree with everything Andy and Eric said.
But not Fred.
You said something that was totally different than what they said, so I guess you're right. I don't necessarily take a diva, you know, for one thing and not the other. I don't see why you can't just be a team player all the time. But besides that fact, I do think he was playing in pain, but I don't think that that's a reason to. If you can't play any harder than he played, then he shouldn't have been on the field. And I don't think that he played very hard down the stretch. And I also think there have been other years where his production has similarly declined as the weather gets bad. So I don't think that the separated shoulder in week 5 contributed to him catching 2 passes in a playoff game or whatever it ended up being for him against Baltimore. That's what I'm sort of not buying.
Well, I think, put all that stuff aside, Tom Brady got pissed at him. Tom Brady knows what's going on. If Tom Brady's pissed, there's reason to be pissed.
And
he's not living like us with misinformation.
Like yeah.
If those people are pissed at him, then there's reason to be pissed. Mm-hmm. They have good reason. They're not looking at it from afar with, you know, partial information. They know what's going on, and they were pissed. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
We also found out, I don't know if you guys read this, but speaking of injuries and low performance and not living up to expectations, Jarvis Green apparently spent more time in a hospital than nurses this year because he had both knees,
five surgeries,
elbow
total,
and hand or
wrist, I think.
Yeah, 5 total. Wrist, elbow, and both knees. He had minor surgeries throughout the season. So, as you know, kind of giving him an excuse for why his pass rushing has stunk for 2 years.
And he played quite a bit given all of those.
Sure.
I mean, he said that they were, I think his quote was that they were minor, all minor procedures, but they did limit him in one way or another. Right, you know, being on the field or being in practice, or whatever. So,
getting to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So all the injury stuff is coming out now. I'm sure it's not just the Patriots, but a lot of players talking about. Jarvis Green also said that he is looking forward to testing the free agent waters.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of expected, given you know some of his comments last summer, and going into his final year, you kind of expected that this would probably be his last year here anyway. So. But again, I wouldn't be totally shocked if there's not much of a market for him and they need to bring him back.
I'd be stunned if there was a market for him. He hasn't done anything for 2 years. He's been non-existent. I mean, he was.
Oh, but that hasn't stopped other players from signing, you know, pretty lucrative contracts with other teams.
Who? I mean, a guy like him, he was a spot fill-in at best, and now is irrelevant. I don't know what kind of market there would be for him out there. I don't think he's going to find much. I think he's going to be serious.
Well, there are coaches now, as the article mentioned, who have Patriots connections now.
Right, which means they know he stinks.
But they could also. Who knows? I mean, look how many players that were cast off have ended up in Kansas City.
Yep.
Oh, I think he'll be on an NFL roster for the veteran minimum.
Maybe.
Yeah, Andy's right. He's really done very, very little. For the most part, over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. He had, in 06, he had 7.5 sacks, which was a pretty good year. 07, he had 6.5, but he started 10 games that year. So he got a lot more playing time that year. So his production was actually down because that was the year that Seymour was on PUP. So he played a lot more in 07, only 2 sacks in 08, and I don't know if he even had 2 this year.
I believe one.
So his production has been way down. And
he's miscasting it, saying he never got the chance to hit free agency before. I think he was grossly overpaid and got a great deal in re-signing.
He's one of the few guys that actually, in my opinion, beat the Patriots. I think he got the better of the Patriots, and that's a very small list, if you ask me.
Big, you know, one of the big free agent news that everyone's talking about is Julius Peppers. He's going to be unrestricted if they don't franchise him again, which they might. But, you know.
Rumblings are they're not going to.
So then, you know, obviously the Patriots are in play there.
You would hope.
We'll see.
You would hope.
We'll see.
Not going to look
good for
them. Not going
to take it for granted
if they don't get him. If he becomes truly unrestricted and they don't make at least a serious effort to go get him, it's not going to look good. Fans will not be happy. They want a pass rusher. They kind of want him. He's not going to be restricted. You don't have to trade to get him. It's just about paying him the money.
Right. But why would the Panthers just let him walk like that? Why wouldn't they franchise him again?
Maybe they don't want to be to risk having to pay him $20-plus million. Maybe they're done. Maybe they saw that he flicked a switch on and off during the season, and they're just, you know what, we don't need that crap anymore. Move on. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good points. Yeah, I think that's all. Those are all valid.
He sucked until John Beeson said he wasn't trying, then all of a sudden he started trying.
I don't think there's any player, any non-quarterback anyway, worth $20 million a year.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
In this league.
In that league.
Yeah.
Yeah. He made more than $1 million a game last year, and it's going to increase by 120%.
Right.
I just don't see how you can do that.
Right.
Now, I guess you could. You did it last year. How much more is it? You know, Andy kind of argued with me about that, and Andy says, you know, why not? I just don't think anybody is worth it. I mean, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know, a handful of other quarterbacks, maybe you could make that argument. But for a defensive end, $20 million a year? I don't know.
So that can't happen. But so the only recourse, recourse other than that Carolina has is try to sign him before March 1st, right? Or
for a long-term extension,
yeah. Or let him walk.
Right.
That's all they have.
I mean, they can roll the dice and try to do the franchise and trade thing, but I don't think that's all that easy.
Right.
I mean, a team would. Yeah, I just. If you're willing to walk, just walk, I guess.
Okay. You know, taking into consideration his athleticism, his past production, but also his, at times, apathy, what would you be willing to give a guy like Julius Peppers?
Well, we talked about it upstairs. I think the James Harrison contract would be in the ballpark, something in the $50 million range with $20 million in some sort of guarantees. I'd be more than happy to do. I'd give him his chance. Because I'm less stuck on the can he play outside linebacker, because this team used enough variable fronts this year, four-man fronts, and Derek Burgess with Vanta Kane and down in their three-point stances. I just think you need a pass rush however you can get it. Mm-hmm. He is a proven, what is it, like six seasons he's had double-digit sacks. I mean, he gets to the quarterback. Not only that, he's one of those guys that can get there with the forced fumble, pick it up, score, great athlete. I think he's a game changer. I'd pay him.
And imagine if he's on a team where he theoretically is trying every single game.
Right.
As opposed to in Carolina.
Like when Carolina played well down the stretch, I thought you saw him was being a big part of that. And they got a little success going as they finished the season. I'm not defending not playing hard, because there's no reason to not play hard. And that would be a concern for me if I were to give him. But I think Andy's contract is reasonable, and I think he is a great talent. I think here, with Belichick coaching him, and pretty certain that you're going to be involved in the playoff picture, you'd probably get a pretty good effort out of him for the duration of that contract.
Sean says, Julius Peppers, are you kidding me? They are the Patriots. They will not pay for Peppers. Wake up. They won't pay for Wilfork. The best we can hope for is to not trade down and hope that our draft picks work out. We also have to worry about paying Brady a boatload of money.
That is true. The boatload of money part. I'm not sure they won't pay anybody.
Well, they're going to pay somebody.
Bill clearly has an affinity for Julius Peppers. He said enough positive things about him and talked about him in a good enough light that he clearly likes him as the player. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily he's going to...
I never said that.
Yeah, you did.
That whole thing on EEI last year, to me...
was genuine.
Was genuine. And he... that whole thing about how he couldn't talk about the player and all that stuff, that to me was a kind of a shot, a message. Listen, if you guys are serious about dealing this guy, let's open up the lines of communication.
Right.
Get this thing done.
Franchise him, and then we'll
he's
talk.
He's franchised. Sign the tender so we can talk or whatever and all that stuff, which I still don't understand. But I think that was genuine interest on Bill's part.
But even back to the previous times they've played him, he's been one of those players. He just, not quite to the Ed Reed level, but the pure athleticism and his overall ability at his size, he has gushed about him. He fits that criteria.
Just watching some of the over the weekend, I know, Andy, you did the same thing. They had on NFL Network some of the Super Bowls, and they had the 38 one against Carolina. They didn't have any sacks in that game, but boy, oh boy, did they have pressure, and he was getting a lot of it.
Yes.
That day. He was really in Brady's face on a number of those passes.
I tell you who didn't have a sack that day. Eugene Wilson. Terrible.
You know what I watched last night, too, was the end of the Super Bowl 42. And that after the Giants scored to go ahead, you remember the Patriots threw the three bombs?
Yeah.
But in between there was a sack?
Yep.
Wow. That Jay Alford guy absolutely killed Russ Hochstein. Just barreled him over and shot up the middle. And right as Brady was stepping up, it was one of those the worst sack that you can take because you're not braced for a hit at all. He stepped up and was ready to throw, and bang!
I forgot that Hochstein was in at that point.
He planted him in the ground.
Yeah, because Steve Neal went out with the
knee injury.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah. By the way, Paul, Dan in Fairfax says, when I was a kid growing up in Framingham, Saturdays were all about candlepin bowling and pro wrestling. I watched every week.
Nice. Pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling, I believe that.
Well, they were right there.
That's real.
One was on at 12 and the
Channel
other was
27.
On at
1. Yeah. Those ratings were real.
web radio at patriots.com.
The Grand Wizard of Wrestling. Andy, do you remember the Grand Wizard of Wrestling?
Oh, sure.
I know, Fred, you do. You're older than me. No? You have no recollection of that? How about Classy Freddie Blassie?
Yes.
Okay. I can't believe you don't know the Grand Wizard if you know Freddie Blassie.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, he used to wear this.
The Grand Wizard had the Wolfman?
He used to wear that stupid
Hat
thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Turban. Thank you.
The hat thing.
And
it was a turban, not a
it was like a
thing?
Glittery.
No, it wasn't
a, like a glittery turban.
Wizards wore pointed
like
hats.
And he used
like
to spit all over the place. Like you could see the interviews with McMahon. McMahon was a little scrawny guy then, just before the juice.
Before the juice.
And I can say it's wrestling. You can say anything you want about wrestling.
Plus, I believe it's public record in federal lawsuits and whatever.
And he used to spit all over Vince McMahon. When he would, McMahon, he would scream at him, and you could see the spit coming out of his mouth.
While we're quickly on the steroid topic, did anybody see Herschel Walker's MMA debut the other night?
Sometimes you learn
Rex
power
Ryan, yeah.
at the MMA
Rex
level.
Ryan got in trouble, but anyone who saw the actual fight, Herschel Walker is as big and as ripped as anybody.
Really?
I mean,
still.
More.
Because he was always known for doing those sit-ups.
Yeah. You know what he was known for? Juicing. There's no way he looks like he did without ever lifting. And
how
now,
old is he now?
I don't know. He's got to be in his mid-40s, late 40s, right? What was it, 82? 82. He would be 21.
He came out, right?
So.
For the USFL, he went to.
93, 2003. He's got to be in his mid to late 40s.
The Vikings trade was.
Like 89.
89,
yeah.
Right?
He's got to be in his mid to late 40s. You know, same age as Paul, and they look identical.
I didn't learn power at the MMA level.
48
years old.
Not the
same
age
fight.
As Paul.
Dude is F. Oh, yeah, he won.
I don't know how that
you
one
did?
Slipped by me, by the way. You go the same age as Paul.
Actually, much older than Paul. He looks 25 years younger.
Because he was like the man at Georgia, and I was just getting to high school.
Okay, quickly. Juiced or didn't juice? Herschel.
I would say juiced.
Bo.
They all did.
I would.
Yeah,
probably
I would say probably. Yeah,
I'd say yes to Herschel, no to Bo.
Gee, I wonder why.
Brian Bosworth said, you know, like 80% of the guys are doing it in college.
I believe him. I just don't think Bo did.
You know, you're like me with Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, but you cast him aside quickly.
Well, once they found
out. Yeah,
the
but
truth.
There's nothing. The difference between you two, Fred, is you at least admitted the error of your ways.
Has
there's
it actually been proven
no.
that Lance Armstrong
never happened?
No, it really hasn't.
Thank you. So why did you, if you
because,
loved
because,
the guy that much,
because the overwhelming evidence
with him,
yes,
has dictated that Fred is a rational, balanced individual.
He found a way to beat the system.
I think if Bo came out and admitted it, Andy would say he was coerced somehow.
Right.
There's nothing that could happen that would make you change your mind about Bo, unless he like smacked you in the face or snubbed Jackson for an autograph.
Oh yeah, that would
change
my mind.
That's like the only thing, and you'd say he's dead to me.
That'd be way worse than smacking me in the face. If that happened, I'd have a story to tell.
Hey Doc, who bought lunch today?
I
stunned him. Nelson in
New
Hampshire.
Oh, Nelson in New Hampshire.
He's going to effort to call in later.
Okay, great.
Efforting a call
in. Well, thank you for lunch, Nelson.
You think so well
on your
feet.
This could be,
Freddie,
this could be our last lunch. Did you know that?
Last lunch ever.
This could be our last lunch ever.
We need some people to step up.
I think we should record a PSA maybe after the show.
feed the...
A PFWSA?
I was thinking maybe Andy. We do a PSA for food.
Sure. Hi, I'm Andy Hart for Patriots Football Week. Anyway. But I need a stripper.
Thank you, Nelson.
VIP strippers.
I'm Paul Perillo. I'm dangerously close to dropping below 200 pounds.
Where'd you get that? Who's the guy with the white hair
BMI
and
the
beard who does those Save the Children ads? Where, you know, for a dollar a day,
right,
you could sponsor this child.
Happy birthday.
Maybe we should get Paul a sponsor. That'd be a good thing for PFWinProgress.com. Yeah. You know, get Paul a sponsor.
I think he'll sponsor the head shaving.
Yeah.
For a calzone a day, you could save this man.
Right.
This poor child from effort.
Huh? Week from Thursday.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Good for you. Going under the blade.
Going under the blade.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Hey, did you guys hear that Christina Acra has left?
Yes.
Yes.
That's a big loss.
Eric got her number before she left.
Did you really?
Got the digits.
Yeah.
As she went to go be with her boyfriend.
Now, where's she going? I heard it. Could she LA?
She's going first to LA.
Yeah.
To be with her sister.
Okay.
It's also what her agent is.
She has an agent?
Yeah.
Evidently, Andy, the only
agent in America worse than ours.
The answer to the question is to why.
She's hot. And she's working here like we are, and we have no agents.
The answer to the question is to why we will never be anywhere. Everybody else has an agent.
So she's out in
LA. I don't want that one, though.
Is she there now? Did she go immediately?
I don't know if she went immediately or went home first or whatever. But
so she's out in LA.
That's good for her.
But before she left, she took the time to record a little goodbye greeting to us. So,
oh, good.
Goodbye greeting. Right.
Goodbye.
So why don't we play that, Doc?
Hello, loyal listeners of PFW in Progress and, of course, Shop Talk. I wanted to take a moment and let you know that I will be leaving the Patriots airwaves. I've enjoyed my time here and enjoyed keeping all of you up to date on the Patriots. I couldn't leave without sharing some of my favorite memories of the PFW staff. Andy, you actually taught me two very important lessons. First, I should never sit behind you during a press conference because I could never see around that giant head of yours. You also taught me that during training camp or before a game that I always need to get to the food line before you or there will be nothing left. Eric, I'll never forget all of the amazingly boring questions that you would ask Bill during his weekly press conferences. And at least when you asked them, you were wearing that gorgeous forest green crew neck or, of course, the famous Argyle tan sweater.
Wow.
Paul, I'll miss our debrief sessions and 5 points every week, but I definitely won't miss the glare of the lights off of your balding head.
Oh.
Thank you enough for making me look so great on TV. Fred. Or should I say Ben in North Attleboro, Stephen Medford, or any of the other names you came up with during Shop Talk? I don't think we would have gotten through the show without 15 emails from you weekly. In all seriousness, it was great working with all of you guys. I will miss you all. And so for the very last time, here it is, cherry pie and hot naked burrito.
Nice.
Take care, everyone. And the doctor definitely made me do this.
All right. Christina Acra.
We bumped into her on the way back from the podcast on Friday, and we're told by Doc that she was having a little reluctance to come in and record the spot because she didn't want to make fun of us. And
she said she didn't know us well enough.
Yeah, Paul and I said, come on.
And we talked to her, and she, this is word for word what she said, Freddie. She pointed to Eric. She said, they're making me call Paul bald, but not you.
Oh, well.
I like it.
You going to be all right over there?
Yeah, I like
it. I like Christina. I thought she was really good.
Yes, we can tell. We all hated
it. It made for the most awkward radio ever.
No, but I...
Because you liked her.
I think she was really good, you know, doing the Patriots Today.
Yes, the show will be not as good without her.
I'll say this, too.
And more below is not, you know...
Well, I was just going to ask you, Eric.
Professionally, she got... Listen, there was a whole new... There's a whole new wave of stuff going on around here in this area with the websites and all this stuff. Comcast has this huge new sports show, Comcast Sportsnet, Sports Central, and they have all these new reporters that they hired, and how they didn't hire her is ridiculous.
Travesty.
It's ridiculous. And I'm not going to get into all the different people that they did hire or didn't hire or whatever, but she is so much more qualified than half of the people that have sort of gotten into this market now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just another one of those things. You work for an organization, you kind of get labeled into a certain
category. And
she is much better than a lot of the people
I know what
they
did, you know, for
and more professional.
To put Patriots Today together. And between her and Bilo, I mean, they wrote their own scripts. They, you know, they didn't have all these people helping them, you know, and it looked as professional as anything on TV.
Better, I think, in some cases.
Yeah.
I would say better.
So certainly when 5 points at Perillo was
well. So
there are exceptions.
Good luck to her. And Eric, I was just going to ask you, because you have a direct line of communication to Belo. Do they know what they're going to do? Are they going to replace her?
We didn't actually, that didn't come up in conversation.
Maybe
week.
Doc knows.
They haven't decided yet, but for right now, it's Belo solo.
Oh. They did have, weren't they using,
that's going to hurt ratings.
They were using a former cheerleader to do some interviews sporadically during
for,
the season.
For Totally Patriots.
Yeah. So is there, I don't know if there's any chance that she would get bumped
they
up
had
to,
a
the,
lot
to,
of,
to the big show or not, but.
They had a lot of young, aspiring broadcasters come in and do, is it the Totally Patriot show? And I know that some of those might be in line to get a larger role.
Well, maybe like if the person who replaces her isn't good, they'll bring her back like Jay Leno. You know, she'll.
I think she's ready to move on.
I was just going to say, I think she was ready to look for greener
pastures.
They'll
just post the show a half hour later.
Right. Yeah, she'll do.
That's a terrible.
The thing is, he usually does pretty good ones.
I know.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. It's 12:32. We'll be right back. Talk about some stuff Samuel said and some other things.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto-reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter...
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football.
Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Is it gone?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on patriots.com with Jake Steele, portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at patriots.com.
Okay, we're back.
Okay.
This is kind of clearing my throat from the lunch that Nelson from New Hampshire was nice enough to buy us. And Nelson's on the line right now. Hey, Nelson.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, thanks so much for lunch. We really
appreciate that.
Thanks a lot,
Nelson. Thank you very much.
That's the least I could do. I listen to you guys all the time, and I just never got a chance to till now, so...
You're the best. You're our best caller from New Hampshire, bar none, this hour.
All right.
Today.
I'll make sure to mention that to the other guy from New Hampshire, all right?
Okay. When you see him at the convenience store, you tell him that.
Well, you'll know him, too, because he tends to ramble on and on now. That
right,
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't get behind him in line at the convenience store. You'll never be able to check out.
Right.
So what do you got?
I haven't listened to you yet today. I usually catch you guys on the podcast afterwards, but... I know you guys have been, you know, discussing about the upcoming season and, you know, looking forward to the draft and stuff like that. And I know you guys have been discussing a little bit of the running game because I find that's kind of my main concern is just the fact that, you know, we don't have really a lead back. And I know, like, you know, the way the league is going right now, it's better back by committee. But I think that the focus that I think we're missing out on is on a true fullback. And I know you guys, you know, I know Paul especially has been talking about, you know, we are headed to kind of a pass-happy league, but everything kind of switches back and forth all the time. It's pass-happy for a little while, then it'll become, you know, defense-happy, and then it'll be run-happy again. And I just don't know what you guys think about, you know, the absence of a true fullback.
Toby Gerhardt
is not a true fullback. That's not who he's talking about. He's talking about a true fullback.
Yeah.
I love fullbacks. I love smash mouth football, but I just don't think you need one. I think you can use the tweener, you know, whether they've done it with tight ends or Keith Evans type fullback. A Gerhardt may end up being that kind of a guy.
Right, H-back type. Not even.
I think the time you need a true fullback is when you have the elite running back.
If they increase.
You have that guy to really open up some holes and be his lead blocker.
If they increase the game day roster to like 58, I mean, 48, maybe increase the. Total roster to 58, maybe you'd have more fullbacks in the league. But I think now with the emphasis on passing, you need those spots for the extra receivers and the extra tight ends.
But the theory is, with the emphasis on passing, I'm going to line up with a fullback. I'm going to run the ball down your throat. If you want to come out in your little nickel packages and too many defensive backs on the field, undersized linebackers, I'll run it down your throat. I mean, that's the theory. John Hann is a big fan. I've talked to him about that. He thinks it's going, you know, trending, as Nelson says, one way. Sooner or later, the best way to defeat it is run the ball right at him.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think we're there yet.
And I know Falk, you know, he's getting up there in age. I know you're ready to push him out and everything. But
that was a couple years ago.
Right. But, you know, it used to be, you know, we used to use the fullback out of the backfield to also catch passes. I mean, I know Patrick Pass wasn't the greatest, but, you know, between, you know, a guy like Pass and you know, Sam Gash from a long time ago.
Keith Byers.
Mark Edwards.
Mark Edwards was pretty good at it.
Yeah, Edwards Klecko was great coming out of the backfield. And I just feel like we're kind of missing that a little bit maybe. You know, maybe, you know, since we didn't have a third wide receiver this last year, you know, that might have helped a little bit more.
I think it would be minimal, any gain you'd get from it. Sure, I think Heath Evans, had he been still around, would have had some plays, some catches, would have run the ball a little bit, whatever. I don't think that's what they want to do, and I'm not sure how much of a bang for your buck you get out of it from the roster
spot. It's just really risky to give up a roster spot for those few plays a game.
Yeah, I think that what you see is guys like Heath Evans that Andy just mentioned, and you look around the league, you know, there's Brian Leonard is in Cincinnati, Jacob Hester in San Diego. I think your guy, Toby Gerhardt, is probably ticketed for that kind of a role.
Oh, yeah. He's Heath Evans 2.0.
He's, you know, the Dante Scarnecchia said that.
Heath Evans was pretty good in college.
Do you remember when Dante, you know, when Bill's father died and Dante took over as the acting head coach for that week, in one of those press conferences, he said Heath Evans is one of those guys. He's a halfback in a fullback's body.
Right.
Well, there are guys like that. They're kind of tweeners that I think they can catch the ball. They have decent mobility. That's where I think you see fullbacks. If you don't have that kind of versatility and you just kind of a Lorenzo Neal pounded ahead, I don't really think there's a place for you in the league anymore.
And I do. I think the only place is in front of an elite back. If you decide we're a running-based team, we have a guy that can rush for 1,800.
Right.
Okay, maybe I'll line a fullback in front of him so I can open up more holes, always take the first hit, have a guy to follow. But if you're a committee backfield who many times tries to kind of trick people, run pass, different things, I think the fullback limits you a little bit.
Well, But it just seems like we've kind of given up on the whole lead back thing. I mean, it just seems like we're picking up a bunch of guys who are oft injured all the time.
Well,
you know?
they put in a tackle, or I mean a guard.
Well, he's talking about the lead back, and I think the reason you gave up on the lead back is the guy you drafted to be your lead back stinks.
You thought you had one in 2006.
The problem is the guy hasn't panned out.
They need to now.
He
should be
that guy.
That's now a priority.
Right. He's supposed to be in, like, his second or third season of 1,300 yards.
You know, D'Angelo Williams and Joseph Addai. Now, not that I think Addai is a star, because I don't think he is, but they're the lead guys for their teams.
Right.
That's like
the guy we picked isn't.
That's one of the saddest things, because my son, he's 8 years old now, but when Maroney came into the league, and I'd have him sitting there watching football, he's like, Dad, I want to be like Maroney. I want to be fast like Maroney. And so, of course, like that Christmas, you got a Maroney jersey. And now he's just like me. He sits on the couch. He's like, Dad, that Maroney guy, he stinks.
I don't want that Maroney shirt
but
anymore.
You know, he's right, because the kids loved Maroney when he got here.
Right.
He really appealed to the kids. He could have owned this town.
Because he had everything.
Eric,
the smile, the hair, the big plays, the flashy running style.
If he could have lived up to his draft pick,
personality,
he would be
everything.
A huge star in this town.
But he didn't, alless.
I think it's time to turn the page.
All right, Nelly.
Thanks for lunch again.
Nelson, thank you so much for lunch.
Thank you.
That's great.
Tell Steve we said hello.
Aaron from Sterling writes in, Acra is leaving. Eric is the solution. Fellas, great show. I want to talk about Christina leaving. This is tragic.
So if
Christina is out and Brian moves into her spot, who gets Brian's old job? I heard rumors it could be Eric. Has Eric asked you guys for the B-low job?
No.
I can picture him begging every guy in the office for the B-low job.
All right. All right, Fred. All right.
He's
all right.
The kind
we get
of guy
it. We get it. We get it.
Practice the B-low job, waiting for the chance to perform.
I got to tell you, I didn't hit it immediately until Fred made a funny face.
No, but it was very well read. It was very well read. And maybe I just wasn't on my game, but I didn't see it coming. No double entendre intended.
We're going down a slippery slope here. Eric, and I'm not involved in any way.
I saw that one come in, and I said, I got to read this.
Just found that funny.
The B-low job.
Excellent delivery, Fred.
You know reviews are coming up, Fred.
That was,
you're not going to get a good one.
Exceptionally well read.
You don't get to review him. Jonathan does.
As clever as the email was, Fred, it wouldn't have worked if you didn't read it just the way you read it. Perfect.
Well, all kidding aside, what do you think about hosting Patriots today? You being the host.
Don't be serious.
No formal
argument. I am serious. No thanks.
Wow. No thanks.
No.
Comes with a $50,000 raise.
No.
When do I start?
Wait a minute.
No.
No.
Did you just say no? Because it doesn't come with a $50,000
raise. Well, he said
raise.
It did.
It doesn't. He's just being a Fred.
It was a hypothetical.
You should do it, Paul.
For a $50,000 raise?
In general.
I do.
A $5 raise.
Do it in my underwear for $50,000 more.
That's not what we're looking for.
I don't care what you're looking for. I'm looking for an extra 50 grand.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
No, but 50 I will.
webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
We're going to talk about the coaches?
Yeah, there was a couple
coaching
changes.
I wouldn't be good in
that
role, by the way, B-Low. I mean, Doc.
The ballet.
What?
I was talking to Doc.
Oh. Coaching changes.
The
Shane
radio
Waldron,
show. We can all hear
who
you.
Who was the tight ends coach, came here via Notre Dame, has left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if he was asked to leave or he left on his own volition, but
he's
gone.
The story said
that was reported as a
mutual decision.
As well.
Yep.
Okay. And brought in, which I think could pay dividends. I'm just saying. Corwin Brown is now the defensive backs coach and a defensive coach.
He's a defensive coach.
He's a defensive coach.
It's been reported that he's a defensive backs coach.
Right.
The official release just called him a defensive coach.
Okay. Right. He was.
So you
go,
Corwin, you got a minute. What do you mean by I got a minute? What are you talking about, man?
So he was the DC, the defensive coordinator over at Notre Dame.
I don't know why you need that accent.
Obviously, he has Patriots.
Is that a dialect?
A Patriots past here.
Yep. 93 to 96.
Has history.
Good guy by
Belichick.
All accounts. Freddie, you knew Corwin Brown a
little
bit.
Brown,
he was before my time.
Yeah, Corwin Brown was great. And when he was here, even as a player, he was looked at as a very smart player, known for playing chess all the time. Loved playing chess. He did. I remember one of my memories of playing in Green Bay in 96, playing Green Bay in the New Orleans, is every day in front of the hotel, he and whether it was Troy Brown or a couple other guys, they'd set up the chessboard and they'd play chess out in the street all day long.
Any film to watch?
And they lost.
We lost 35-21.
I'd go. I'd come back from what I was doing. There they were. They're still playing chess.
So Fred was busier than
but,
the player.
But Corwin was always known as a pretty smart player. Parcells thought he was a smart guy. Belichick obviously thinks he's
Michigan
a smart guy.
Yep. Now, Paul, go on your rant.
I'm sorry?
Notre Dame defense stinks.
Oh, I will
Brown,
say he's been
Corwin.
The defensive coordinator for the last 3 years with the Irish. And
why don't you just
Notre
make
Dame
point?
Has arguably had, well, not arguably among the major Division I schools, the worst defense in football.
Now,
college
and,
football.
And that could be him, but what about recruiting? Do they key on recruiting offense?
I don't know enough about – maybe Strippers can help us out with this because he's really tapped into the college game.
No, they
have
a really
they
good
have
linebacker.
The best recruiting class. They have a top 10 recruiting class every year. I don't think talent has been Notre Dame's problem.
Okay.
Now I think
– So it's coach. And we added the coach.
Well, offensively, their offense has been outstanding.
Exactly. So now we're really zeroing in on Corwin Brown.
They've been terrible. And he's been the defensive coordinator.
So I say it, Paul. What are you saying?
I'm saying that his performance as a defensive coordinator was poor. I mean, I'm not trying to be veiled, you know.
You kind of were.
No, I'm not. He was his
talent
performance
has not
was
been
terrible.
The problem, and offensively
well,
they've been good.
Let's put it.
But they can't stop anybody.
If he was coming from one of the top ranked defensive college teams, we'd be all saying
exactly.
That.
Right. If it was Will Muschamp, right. I'd be saying how good their defenses
right.
were.
Right.
But they
well,
didn't,
we don't even
they
know
didn't
what
go
he's
my
do.
Route. They
right.
didn't, they don't
even
go to Will Muschamp.
He
could
be a low level assistant. It's just right. a defensive coach.
Yeah, and that's the thing is he could be. This is the way the Patriots do things, and I don't know why exactly they want to do it. I don't know what competitive advantage or disadvantage it is to not have any idea who was actually the coach. But he could be the defensive coordinator right now, and he could be, like Andy said, the other end of the spectrum.
The assistant secondary
assistant.
Coach. Yeah. I mean, right. he could be Josh Boyer's
no,
assistant
with
for
no
all
no true position even right. that he's responsible for in anywhere in between. I mean, Matt Patricia could be the actual defensive coordinator right now. Corwin Brown could be the defensive backs coach. Maybe Josh Boyer is going to coach linebackers next year.
Or tight ends.
Or tight ends.
Or tight right. ends. Yeah, right. I have no idea.
Right.
But for whatever reason, they will find out probably in training camp, maybe mini camp, if we actually see. Like, that's when we saw Nick Caserio working exclusively with wide receivers.
Ooh, maybe Chad O'Shea will be the tight ends coach.
Maybe Chad O'Shea will be the defensive coordinator.
Now, Chad O'Shea is not even here anymore.
Was Corwin Brown still on the Notre Dame staff, or did he leave when Weiss left or got fired?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
You know, I don't.
I would assume he was out of a job, but I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, because if he was out of a job, I could see this being more of like, come on in, we'll make a spot for you.
But he's a system guy. He's you know, the Jets, the Patriots, Parcells, Belichick.
That's the bottom
Charlie,
line. It's in keeping with the
family.
Trend of
and you know,
keeping it in house. Even though he wasn't on the Patriots staff, he has coached under Belichick's defense.
And this is just my opinion and speculation, but you have the situations last year where after a tough loss, certain defensive backs are off in the corner giggling.
Brandon Merriweather?
You know, now you've
Brandon
got
McGowan?
Maybe a guy who's played the game, you know, a little bit younger.
Yell at him.
You know, can, you know, have the street cred, if you will, to go up to him and say, hey, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's part of it, too.
A guy who's worn the uniform here.
Yeah, he's
you're very big
coached.
On the street cred.
Well,
throwing that term around
I think players,
for a 48-year-old guy.
I think unless you're Belichick and you have the rings and you've done it, you have to have done something that they did, which is played the game or been somewhere that they've been.
Especially if your position coach is like 2 or 3 years younger than you.
Exactly.
It's a little hard to take them seriously,
right.
perhaps.
Do you think that's a problem, as a total aside, having coaches that are that young? Or too many of them?
I do.
Might be.
No.
I don't think it's a problem.
I think it's a problem if the guy's not
isolated.
Good enough.
If you have one, you know, or two, but I think when you have a staff full of guys that are so young,
I think that, you know. It,
wonder how much respect.
There's so many
gone.
Variables there. Like, let's just take Dean Pease for example. He's not a young guy,
no.
But maybe he doesn't come in and command a room. You know, maybe he's just a under the radar type of guy, and he's not that. You know, maybe they need somebody like. You know, each team is different. Maybe 3 years ago, Dean Pease would be fine to be the defensive coordinator because of the personnel. But things change, and every little variable that changes another variable.
But that's why I say I don't think it's just because they're young.
Right.
I think it's good or you're not good.
Clearly Josh McDaniels had no problem.
That's my point.
Right.
And now,
but I'm just bringing it
I'm
up.
I'm going to tiptoe into an issue here that I'm always hesitant
here
to tiptoe it, but race.
Okay.
Josh McDaniels coached Tom Brady, right?
Yep.
It was one smart white guy coaching another smart white guy. Josh Boyer is coaching mostly, or probably all, right, African-American players, young African-Americans. For all I know, Josh Boyer and Brandon Merriweather, who we all know was involved in gangs and shootings couldn't be further apart on the socioeconomic spectrum of common ground.
Yeah, it could be.
My guess is Corwin Brown is a little closer, if not by direct experience, than by he's just been in the league, knows more people, has been around things that maybe Merriweather's around. That's where I wonder if it's an issue. Not necessarily age, but just flat out kind of Dean Pease.
Experience.
Dean Pease is an old white guy who plays the piano.
Yep.
Gerard Mayo is a, you know what I mean? There's a lot of differences there, and I just wonder how those play into flat out respect. And if you're not, I think some people could come in as, like Nick Saban is a short white guy from nowhere, but I think when he comes in, he commands respect, the room, whatever. But if you're not that high level leader, I think then you're setting yourself up for some problems if you don't have a common ground to reach guys.
Andy, I think you said it right earlier when you said you're either good or you're not. And I think like a guy like Matt Patricia is somebody who on the surface you might think might not have a whole lot in common with a lot of guys in the NFL. You know, sort of the studious type, was an engineer in college, and he comes in and he's asked to coach the linebackers and he's never played the position. And you know, I think he would tell you that you get the respect over time if you present the information to the players, regardless of whether you play the position or not. If you're giving them the right information and doing your job correctly, they'll respect you for that, regardless of whether you are actually a player or played that position.
And after they've done what you said, they get results.
And they get results.
But
didn't
Patricia assist Pepper Johnson when Romeo was here? Wasn't there a...
He was a coaching assistant.
He was a coaching assistant.
I don't remember exactly
Pepper
who he assisted.
I think Pepper Johnson was linebacker's coach. Romeo left. He went to the defensive line. Matt slid into the linebacker's role. Dean Pease slid into the linebacker's role.
You might be right.
I think Patricia's been around long enough, so they had the chance to observe him and say, you know what? He's smart. And then he got elevated to linebackers,
That's what I'm saying.
Josh Boyer was just thrown out there as the secondary coach.
Mm-hmm.
From a coaching assistant to a secondary coach. And I think there's some issues there, and I think race plays into it.
Look, there's no doubt that football coaching is more important than any other sport.
Right.
And in football, as a player, you go through things that you don't in other sports. You know, the pain, you know, the constant, you know, it's just a tougher sport. So the last thing you want is to be listening to a guy you don't respect. That's just that's annoying to you.
And if you don't respect him, you're not going to truly buy into what he's telling you.
If you don't truly buy in,
you might as well not buy in at all because there's no midway point.
A lot more studying involved in this sport, too. You know, watching film, there's more of that. The playbooks are obviously a lot bigger. There's a lot more to learn that way. So you're relying on your coach a lot of times for that little nugget of information that's going to make a difference.
You know, you know, we talk about how owners should be more patient with coaches, but there does come a time in a lot of coaches' careers at a particular team where the message is just not being listened to, and it's just time to change. You can't fire all the players, so you got to get a new coach. You got to get a new message in here.
But that's my point. If a guy like Mike Shanahan can lose it, if guys can tune him out, how easy do you think it is to tune out Josh Boyer?
Right.
I mean, he's got nothing to prop him up other than just himself, the interaction.
Well, if all these issues...
And it goes back to Belichick being spread too thin. If it's always Belichick that has to be the guy that gives the message, it's just too much for one guy. You know?
I wonder if these things that we're talking about are indeed issues, like Andy, you suggested the socioeconomic issue, and then Vince Wilfork comes out publicly and says Pepper Johnson is the guy. Is there a backlash if it's Matt Patricia?
It could be, yeah.
You know, and if there is, if you're Belichick, do you worry about that backlash? Or is that something that's, listen, I understand this isn't probably exactly what all the players want, but the players don't know what's best.
Right, right.
It's probably a difficult line that he has to walk and weigh.
And it gets back to another... Players don't know what's best. Well, you know what, Bill? I'm not sure lately you've known what's best.
And
that's
all
the
of a
divide.
It unravels, and you made the point about Mike Shanahan. Well, Mike Shanahan won two Super Bowls, but the guys that he was coaching in the mid to late 2000s, they don't know. They don't know about that.
Right. They don't know about Super Bowls.
Right. And a lot of the guys that Bill Belichick is coaching right now don't know about the success that he had in the early part of this decade.
I'm just sad that we had to see another Pachyderm get let go with. Shane Waldron being asked to move on or
another
to move
package.
On. You see a Tufts guy?
Of course.
Well, he couldn't leave quick enough. All right, Web Radio.
Because those NESCAC guys never worked out for you. You know, Bill Belichick, your head coach, GM.
Web Radio at Patriots.com.
Matt Patricia, Eric Mangini.
NESCAC
kicks ass, Fred.
Matt Patricia went to RPI.
Yeah, but he's got ties to Amherst. I believe he was a coach there.
Maybe I think he was a coach there.
Maybe a GA and even got a master's
maybe
from Amherst.
Maybe they can sign that Hauschka.
He made it in the league.
Greg says we're talking about Notre Dame. He says many Notre Dame fans and some college football experts will tell you the problems with their defense stem from recruiting. Because of their rigid academic standards, they cannot get the elite-level speed athletes that you need to compete now in major college football, particularly against the typically tough schedule Notre Dame plays and the rise of the spread offense. Not sure if I buy it completely, but that is one of the arguments.
Yeah. Who's that from?
Greg.
Yeah, that's definitely that's
doesn't
the
say where?
Notre Dame Charlie Weiss : excuse 101 right there. And I'm not saying that Greg is wrong because that is predominantly what it's all about: academic standards, speed, and all that. I just don't understand.
Why does it always
why do they have speed on the offensive side but not the defensive
side?
Well,
why do the experts always say number 6 recruiting class, number 7 recruiting class?
That's my point.
And the experts are basing it on the high school athlete, what caliber of high school athlete you got. And they're saying you got the 7th best group of high school athletes in the country.
Yeah, they're not factoring in grades when they do that.
Right, and you look at their skill position guys. They've had some good, solid college running backs. Mm-hmm. They had Golden Tate and Michael Floyd, two excellent wide receivers. They had the best quarterback prospect in the country. Are they all on offense?
Right. I'm pretty sure
all
they
the guys
got a linebacker,
that they're drafting that are athletic enough to compete at a high level or just on offense.
Somebody emailing because I'm pretty sure they got a linebacker from I want to say like Hawaii, somewhere far away, who was like one of the top 5 overall prospects in the country.
They've also had individual players on defense that have made it. And I mean, Tom Zbikowski had a pretty good year for the Ravens. Now, I don't think he's an elite athlete by any stretch in terms of the measurables. He's an all-around athlete. I mean, he's a pretty good boxer too.
Yep.
I mean, he's an all-around athlete.
Gloves, yep.
But I don't think that you would consider him maybe an elite athlete. But you wonder what they're doing with that. Because I think Andy's right about their linebackers. They've had some individually talented linebackers, but it hasn't translated. Their defenses have been really, really bad.
Why is that, Paul?
Fred and
no speed because of the academic standards.
Oh, I thought you thought it was coaching.
Well, that's what I think.
Fred in Halifax says, let me run a scenario by you. Wolfork gets the franchise tag and puts a lip on it. He boycotts all team activities, shows up in the summer beyond out of shape. The Pats have to pay him, but he is in no condition to play. What is Bill forced to do at that point? I'm telling you, this is a real possibility.
Forced to do.
See, I think, though, that he one of the things about Wilfork, and you kind of laugh about it, but he does care about his health. He had both parents die, I think, of diabetes-related illnesses.
His father did. I'm not sure about it.
And he's always talked about that being on his mind, you know, his long-term health, being able to see his kids.
He should be concerned.
And his wife, you know, she's talked about it too.
Yes.
So I don't think he let himself get that out of shape. But, you know, what the hell is that?
I think the
what is that?
There's somebody
sort of banging on the
going
wall
on outside the studio here.
Go open the door and say, "We're doing a show here."
Yeah.
Do it. It'll be
we're live. You know, so I don't think that.
But I think the larger point there is not necessarily what exactly he does in terms of his shape, but that he signs the tender and then puts the team on the pay no mind list. I think that's as much mental as it is physical.
Yeah.
I think the emailer's point is, don't you guys agree?
I'm sorry. I'm distracted by this noise.
I can't focus.
Okay.
Sorry. No, it's quiet. Go ahead. It's quiet now. Go.
Répétez, s'il vous plaît.
Big Megyn Kelly fan.
Distracted.
I think the email's larger point is more of a, if he just signs the tender, they franchise him, he signs the tender knowing that he really doesn't have any leverage and just puts the team on the pay no mind list.
That's possible.
It's more of a mental thing than checking out, getting, I mean, first of all, he's about 360 pounds. I don't know how much more out of shape he can be. I don't think that he is going to be 460 pounds when he shows up. He'll be at minicamp because otherwise he'll be fined if he signs the tender, and he'll be at training camp, but I think the worry would be mental. He just says, you know what? Do my job.
Right.
Screw that. I did my job last year.
All right, collect.
I don't know if he's capable of doing that.
I don't know
I think
if he
he's
is
got
either.
A lot of personal pride.
I don't know
I really
if he is
do.
Either. I don't see that. I don't see that being a possibility.
I don't think he could half-ass it. I really don't. I think he's a guy that has a lot of personal
Plus,
pride.
Plus, he always have next year to think about, you know.
But and that's part of it. But I just think for him, he would be
if
he couldn't live
year.
With himself. I don't think he'd be able to live with himself if he.
I think he's.
It.
I think he's one. Of, I don't think there are a lot of guys, by the way, that just flat out tank.
No.
I don't think there are a lot of those guys.
But there are some who
there are some.
It creeps in. It just kind of, it's kind of like the retirement thing. If you're thinking
if you're
about,
thinking
it,
about it,
well, if you're thinking about tanking it or thinking about half-assing it, you're probably on some level half-assing it.
I think that probably he won't sign the tender right away. He'll be upset about it. He'll probably pop off about it. And it'll probably drag all the way into training camp. Yeah. I think I could definitely see him not signing that tender all the way through training camp.
No,
Doc took care of
Doc
it.
Just right, came
Doc.
Into the back
Doc
door.
Took care of it.
Knocked some heads out
them?
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They're like, what radio show?
you think
he
there's
gave
any
him the big lip?
You think there's any chance he signs the tender and then is traded?
No.
Chance? Yeah, but I don't think it's likely.
Chance? 3%?
Well, that's your side of the fence.
Let's see. Louis from Tampa says, hello to the four hosts and the two producers. It seems like we can never get away from fourth and two. I have a few rants after reading the all-decade team. One, how is Joey Porter on the team over Mike Vrabel? What percentage of sacks by Taylor and Strahan came against Drew Bledsoe? He said, wait to see Paul's reaction. And three, I know the Pats won despite Ty Law's injury in 04, but is the lack of a premier corner the reason behind the Patriots' fading dominance?
You could argue.
It's one of them.
Yeah. I think it's one because they followed Law with Samuel, who a year later was a premier corner. You know, Law left after 04.
Yeah.
In 06, Samuel was a premier corner.
And they followed Samuel with
no
Ellis Hobbs. Mm.
But what about this all-decade team?
It's a joke.
It got picked by the
Pro Football Hall of Fame writers who vote on the inductees.
That's so ridiculous.
What? The Pro Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you know.
The Pro what Hall of Fame?
I'm not feeling well.
As Bill Polian said, it's stupid. He used it to
did
talk
he,
about
did
the Pro
he say
Bowl.
It?
No, he talked about the Pro Bowl being stupid. But
I thought it was foolish.
Too many people.
You can extrapolate.
It's
well,
a 53-man roster.
53-man roster.
Yeah.
Two quarterbacks, Brady and Manning. How about you grow
pick
a pair
one.
And pick one over the other?
Four
Belichick
tackles.
And Dungy. Grow a pair and
Fred,
pick one of them.
Just off the top of your head, four tackles. Who were the premier tackles over the last 10 years?
Jesus.
Off the top of your head.
One guy.
Jonathan Ogden.
Don't
right,
overthink
guy.
It. Don't yeah. overthink it. Just yeah. think of the tackles that come off the top of your head.
Yeah, Ogden, Baselli.
Dan Clayton.
Swing and a miss.
He overthought it. Ogden, Pace, Walter
Orlando
Jones.
Pace.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty obvious. You know,
yeah.
they all made it. Make a choice. Just, you know, like Andy says, grow a pair.
And this is just a decade team?
Yeah.
Wow. The 2000s.
Four tackles. Wow. Two kickers.
The aughts.
Wow.
Two punters. Name the two best punters over the last decade.
Jesus.
You really can't, can
you? I can't.
Come on. Leckler
and Mormon.
We play one of them twice a year.
Shane Leckler averaged like 50
Brian
yards
Mormon.
A punt.
They didn't pick. Even punter, they couldn't differentiate. They
and
have two kick returners,
returners,
two punt
returners.
Returners. The only thing they don't have, Eric?
A long snapper.
No long snapper.
No long Poor. Snapper.
Who were the two kick punt returners?
Dante Hall.
Dante Hall and
somebody else.
Someone else.
Dante Hall
the,
is
the
I
kick returners
called.
Were Devin Hester and Dante Hall. The punt returners were Dante Hall and someone else. Cribbs, maybe.
Yeah, Cribbs is on it. So, yeah.
It's
so
a joke.
So it's a 52-man roster. If Dante Hall's
well, no,
playing both positions.
I don't know. Who cares? It's stupid. It's just playing stupid.
And they got
stupid.
Room for a long snapper.
The only position that got like limited was fullback. They put one fullback on.
One fullback made it, Lorenzo Neal.
It's just stupid.
What do they have, like six receivers?
Four.
It's just
Randy Moss, Marvin Harrison, Terrell Owens, and Torrey Holt.
Every team like this either has one of the person, a quarterback, whatever, or they have a first
a
team,
starting
second
lineup.
Team.
See, I
right.
want a starting lineup. That's all.
Yep.
It's so stupid. One quarterback. A running back.
The All-American
tight
team.
End,
let's put Tebow, McCoy,
and then,
Bradford.
And then,
we'll put them all on it. Call them All-American.
And
right.
then you have a separate thing, and you don't call it a team. It's just the best, the top 10 players of the decade, period.
Okay.
You know?
I'm fine with that.
That's yeah. fine. I mean,
Doesn't
David
matter.
Akers and Adam Vinatieri, which is a joke. It should just be Vinatieri, but.
One guy never made an important kick, and one guy never missed an important one.
That's my theory, by the way. Adam Vinatieri third emergency quarterback for the Super Bowl. So if they need him in the fourth quarter to kick a game-winning kick, he can come in.
The emergency quarterback can go in the game in the fourth quarter at any time, right? Once you get to the fourth quarter, the emergency quarterback can play anywhere.
He should be the emergency quarterback for them. He's their backup kicker
right
now, but
he's
on the active roster.
Don't ask me why he thinks of such things, but Andy has it all.
A lot of thoughts go through this brain of mine.
But
all of them productive.
You wanted him to go in and just line up as the quarterback and then maybe shift out of it.
If there's any rule.
A 48-yard field goal that has to win the game, that might be a little out of Stover's range.
With his stupid little putting his hand down angle thing, twitch, seizure-like.
He's like, you know, he's out there like a matador. He should have a cape on his head.
Eric does it very well.
Of course, he has studied the art of pretending to be a kicker.
Let's see.
For you really have to laugh that hard, Paul, huh?
That's good. Got me in here.
I'll get you in here.
Let's see. Alejandro from Bogota. Hello, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric. I want to ask Patriots Nation how we feel about Fred reading emails again.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he said. I have a question for your consideration. It's mainly a Brady versus Manning question.
Take both.
The feeling I get by reading the press and listening to sports talk is that if Peyton Manning wins this Super Bowl, he is hands down the greatest quarterback ever, no questions asked.
No.
Would that case still hold if David Tyree's helmet had respected the laws of physics? I mean, how crazy is that play? It determines who is the greatest quarterback, and neither Brady or Manning were on the field at the time when it happened.
I think his premise is right. I think that the general consensus, if Manning wins this Super Bowl, is that they're going to give him the nod as the best quarterback.
Ever?
I think most people would do that.
But I think the words Joe and Montana need to be in the conversation.
Well, I'm talking about Brady and Manning.
But I think
they're leaping to the best player ever. Well, first of all, the best quarterback.
Best quarterback
and
ever.
Then I've heard people say he wins it. He could very well be the best player that's ever played the game.
No.
I don't understand why winning and losing an individual game would have such a magnitude. I really don't.
But I think that's what people's perception
be. You're absolutely right. That is what people's perception is.
And I think if his point about Tyree not making that catch,
right.
I think Brady would easily have that.
Brady might have been the MVP of that game again.
You could go to a million individual plays.
Yeah, but if
Vinatieri
misses the kick, then Brady never happens and this and that.
He had the game-winning – he would have had the game-winning drive with Moss. Mm-hmm. On the
Brady was built on a
single play.
Two single plays.
Brady's whole aura was the tuck rule.
Two single plays.
Good, Andy.
That's the intellectual on the show, Eric Scalavino.
I just think that winning and losing in a team sport shouldn't have the significance for individual awards that it has.
So
it
is
does.
Peyton Manning the best quarterback
ever? It does.
Ever?
In my opinion, yes. But that's not because...
I actually agree, but I don't think it's no questions asked. I think there will still
be
debate. I think
the Brady Manning debate
still has to be in there, and I think Brady still has to be in there.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people think that about Manning because he has this... He has this studious... Well, he has this studious aura about him. Like he looks like he always takes the game seriously, studies it seriously, and I think Brady has sort of gotten this reputation that, you know, once the offseason gets here, he's the bon vivant, world traveler, doesn't really care about the game.
Why do you talk like that?
But I just think that...
Like what?
I think that...
You know what?
I'll read this next email, and Christian from Denmark says, recently I joined the I Hate Peyton Manning group on Facebook. What a glorious creation during this Manning Love Fest.
Fred, how did you get that started?
According to Vic Carucci, Manning's potential two Super Bowl titles are better than Brady's three. Has your opinion of Mr. Penis Head changed over the course of the last 5 years? My answer is yes.
Yeah,
it has changed.
Mine has.
I think that he's earned the respect of everybody, not just because, you know, they've overcome the jinx of the Patriots and all that, but what he's done with that team. No running game. Changes in coaching. You know,
changes in receivers.
Changes in receiving. And he just keeps doing it.
To me, it's simpler. It's just he has changed his approach in big games to do what Brady had done before that. And that is take what's given, avoid, for the most part, the crippling mistakes, and he's won.
Yeah.
You know, he's 9-8 in the playoffs, something like that?
I believe so. Maybe 10-8 now?
Now, you go back to the first 5 years of his career, and it was like 2-7 or something
right.
like that. So he's in the last 5 years, he's been much better. Now, the Colts still have that stigma to me, where they've underachieved. I think they've lost too many home games in the playoffs. Flat out. But Manning.
But is that Manning or is that right, softy Dallas Clark and softy Marvin Harrison?
And this is exactly why I don't put such a stock on, if you don't have the rings, you can't be considered. When you throw for 400 yards in a divisional round playoff loss to San Diego, 28-24, I have a hard time putting that on the quarterback. That could have been another Super Bowl if, like Andy mentioned, Dallas Clark didn't poop himself in the game. See, that's twice, 2 weeks in a row I didn't say the real word.
Right.
You came close, though.
No, I didn't. Dallas Clark is a choker.
Spoop.
Dallas Clark is a choker.
Yeah. And so was Marvin Harrison, in my mind.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with you, though, Fred. I think there is something to the difference. And I think we saw it with Brady over the years. We always said, you know, he develops his guys.
Imagine if he ever had
Deion Branch
the
and David
that
Gibbons.
Manning
he loses them. He makes Jags and he goes to an AFC title game where he could have gone to a Super Bowl. Then you give him weapons and he rewrites the record books.
Right.
He did it different ways, different coaches, different talent around him, different styles, score a few, score a lot, score in between. Manning has had some of that where he's lost Harrison but made Wayne. Beyond Wayne, he's made Garcon and Colley look like great players.
Right.
He's made a Jag like Dallas Clark look like a great player. He's had the head coach leave and still succeeded. And he's, you know, scored 45-44, or he's drove for the winning touchdown late because he needed to in a 17-14 game,
that
whatever.
That 15-6 game they beat Baltimore that
right.
year
so
was
he's
that,
done it all
that was
now
great quarterback
while putting up big numbers, while doing whatever.
And, you know, if you reverse it and Manning had had the early mid-decade success, and
this
now
is a
Brady,
great point.
Brady, you'd be saying the same thing about Brady.
See, right. That's the thing.
It's one of the
great
stories
fresh
of all
on our
time.
Mind.
Their
right.
playoff, it's just like Magic and Larry. Magic was just behind you, Paul, on the screen. The part of the greatness of their story was that they coincided, and it was the rivalry. You have that right now with Brady and Manning.
Right, and that's why I think it'll always be fascinating.
Oh, and it'll
and
be
it's,
books and
it's
movies
dumb.
And documentaries.
It's dumb to say that, hands down, you know, one is better
Stupid
than the other.
That's elementary.
But
elementary, people say.
Fred's point about
you idiot
about the
you know why
Manning was bad early and has been better late, whereas Brady was great early and has been struggling.
Bad late,
so, he has been.
And he hasn't really been bad. Let's face it.
Oh yeah, he has.
Did you watch the
Brady?
Ravens game,
Brady?
Did you watch him throw the ball up for grabs in the middle of the field? Or did you miss that play?
Well, I don't know. I think
that was right around when you said, "Oh, we're just going to play like a holes now."
In five of his last eight postseason games, he hasn't been very good.
No, in the postseason, you're right.
Well, that's what we're talking about, is playoffs.
Okay, you're just talking about playoffs?
Yeah, no, Brady wasn't
playoffs
bad.
Playoffs are overrated.
I don't think Brady was bad in 2009, but he was bad against Baltimore.
Oh, absolutely.
Playoffs?
But the whole thing, if Brady didn't have that reservoir of wins built up, people would be talking about those games. I'll tell you this. If Manning had lost the 2007 Super Bowl at 18-0, are you kidding me how much of a choker he'd be labeled as?
Oh, yeah.
But Brady had three titles in the bank.
Right.
And rightly did not get that kind of criticism.
Yep.
Manning would have gotten crucified for that loss because that's what they do. Indianapolis had come up small in the biggest spots time and time again. I think Manning would have really taken a lot more heat than Brady took for losing that game.
Oh.
That was a big-time choke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
While we're on Manning real quickly, did you see his comments on they asked him about having to, quote-unquote, come down to the Pro Bowl early? And his response was, let's see, I got on a private jet with some of my best friends and favorite teammates. They served us Ruth Chris steaks. We got a limo to the place. We were cheered by 70,000 people, and they gave us $45,000 for it. Yeah, that was real tough.
See, that's
good
the kind
for
of,
him.
But that's, wow. the kind, him. That's the kind of thing where I know that we just were joking around.
They had Ruth's
but
Chris
when I can't understand the venom that comes out, like, I understand he's the other team's quarterback, and I want him to do bad. But I'm talking about IHatePeytonManning.com. That's the kind of comment I don't get it.
Well, again, when he first started, he was more, you know, kind of a baby. But he has really he has really matured into a pro's pro. I mean,
on one hand the amount of things that he has said. Much like Brady, I could count on one hand the amount of things that he has said. That I would say, wow, that was a pretty dumb thing to say.
It's not so much of what he said, but, you know, his actions on the sideline.
Well, it's kind
of
like
games.
The day that Brady wouldn't come out and talk. It's just so infrequent to me that that's not the real guy.
Again, I'm just talking about Manny.
We're not talking about Brady here.
And earning my respect. He has command of the media. You know, the commercials, obviously, you know, he people make fun of it, but hey, make it while you can. I don't begrudge him that.
I saw that stupid commercial where he does when he's like saying, you're my favorite whatever, and he's like reaching over trying to get them to high five.
Oh yeah, and a guy finally
does, and he's going like this. Yes, not going to watch that. Right.
That's an old one.
You know,
yeah,
that might be the original
or one of the originals.
He's really done a good job with, you know, his off-field presence.
Let's go, Insurance and Justice.
$80.
Cut that meat.
Sandwich.
Cut that meat.
$6.
Cut that meat.
I don't know why they haven't done this. And obviously Brady doesn't want to. How long are we going here?
Wanted to get to your favorite part.
My God, he's playing the whole commercial.
There are some things money can't.
I can't believe they haven't made Brady do a commercial with him. Well, I mean, I'm sure they've approached him.
That would be like.
Don't you think they should act like dorks together?
Yeah, like when Bird and Magic did the Converse commercial where Bird pulls up in the limo and they're playing one on one.
That was supposedly the beginning of their friendship. They didn't really talk a whole lot. They didn't know each other personally very much until that. Well, that's what's given credit for.
I think Brady did Visa, didn't he?
No, I'm not talking about the company.
To do them together.
I don't care whatever.
I know, but Brady did the Visa commercials and Manning does the MasterCard.
But some other product then.
Yeah, I don't care what the,
whatever it is.
I don't
Nike
care what the product is.
Who knows?
I'm just saying, why wouldn't someone capitalize on the fact that these two guys
Manning?
Could definitely play a likable dork together?
I think they all
take one or
the other.
Maybe they've all gone after Brady.
Smartwater, and you have. Know,
maybe they've
else.
Gone after Brady.
Oreos
and he's just not interested in
some other cookie.
I think
he doesn't
do
a lot.
That'd be a great Super Bowl ad to have the two of them doing whatever.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I suppose. Yeah, yeah, all of that stuff.
Bird,
I'm just surprised
Bird,
that it's never
Bird
happened.
And Jordan did the McDonald's thing where they were playing horse. Remember?
Off the roof, off the light.
Yeah.
Nothing but net.
Let's see. Preston from Brockton writes in. Have you guys heard that Joey Porter wants out of Miami?
Yep.
Do you think we have a chance of getting him?
Why would you want to?
I wouldn't want him, A.
Because he's a free agent, and we want every free agent that's out.
He's not a free agent.
And Miami wants him out of Miami, by the way. And after that, Porter said, I want out of Miami.
And after all the things he said about the Patriots and how much
he hates them and how much they cost him his Super Bowl rings,
I don't see him coming.
He hates the Patriots. We hate him, and he's no longer really an effective player. So why would you want him?
So what'll happen? Miami will cut him, and we'll sign him.
And we'll sign him. Because that'll go right in line with what we've done the last 3 years.
Yep.
But, I mean, Jason Taylor has a down year, but at least you don't take the baggage with it.
Exactly.
Jason Taylor
I don't want
is
Jason
best
Taylor
friends
either.
With Brady and a leader and blah, blah, blah.
Right. You don't get the baggage with Taylor, and I don't want Taylor either, but at least if you signed him, you know, all you're getting is the player.
How about Peppers and Kindle?
Sure.
I'm down with that.
Sawyer from Waterloo.
How's an e-reader going to get you... quarterback
sack. Steal Fred's joke.
Back to Spygate of 2007. The NFL rules said that there could be no videotaping, but still photos are okay. Casio makes a camera that takes 60 still photos a second, and the cameras the pros on the sidelines are using probably take 10 to 12 a second. What is stopping teams from using that kind of photography? Just a thought.
I don't know, but
I don't know.
Why are we bringing that up?
Loopholes generally get you in trouble with Goodell. Ask Chad Johnson. He tries to find loopholes, and the fine goes up every week.
It's the spirit.
Yes.
Right?
We've moved on from Spygate, right, Fred?
I've moved on.
Yeah, let's move on.
But you could put them together, like, you know, when you're a kid and you make those little books and you flip them, and it looks like a moving picture.
Sounds like an awful lot of work just to get a hand signal.
I don't know. They used to win Super Bowls when they had the hand signal.
But it wasn't that much work to do it. All you had to do was point a camera at them.
Gary says, I heard you guys on the Friday podcast say that the Patriots need a complete rework of the defense involving new players. I, at times, have also desired this, but have to rethink my position. By saying this, we really toss all of Belichick's coaching genius out the window because we want a championship-caliber team every year, nearly impossible to achieve, in my opinion. The Pats are rebuilding in many phases, whether we like it or not. And developing new players and coaches takes time. We all agree with... what went wrong, but a longer-term cure won't come with a quick-fix money splurge on talent. I believe there is more team strength, unity, and heart when a team is built from the bottom up and not expected to do well compared to high expectations placed on a team not at that level as yet. Oh, by the way, Patriots fans need to support, not boo. Become saint-like fans, like rather than spoiled babies that just live on the expectation rather than understanding the need for this different 2009-2010 team.
So that
we want to be like the Saints fans and wear paper bags on our heads when things aren't going well.
So that quick fix, you know, big spending money splurge in 2007 didn't work out really at all?
No, because the expectations were too high.
Oh, I see.
Well, you didn't win the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. I mean, aside from that, it, you know, things did went pretty well that year.
Aside from that game that shall not be mentioned.
The other thing about that is I think that you, when you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, I think you should reasonably expect to be a title contender every year.
Really? For a decade even?
I think you should.
When he's young, anyway.
I think you should reasonably expect that.
Yeah. Take 19-0 though. Still,
I mean, when you get that quarterback,
well, I mean, the email I was saying that's unrealistic to expect that. I think that the Indianapolis Colts would certainly consider themselves title contenders each of the last 8, 9, whatever many years it's been.
Yep.
And I think the Patriots would say the same thing.
We've heard this before, Paul, and somebody in the building was talking to us about this. There seems to be some people that believe they need this 2001 bargain basement free agent signed 20 of them. Yeah. And I assume that's what that guy was talking about, the bottom of the roster and building all this crap. Well, I don't agree.
I don't either.
Playmakers.
Give me
they
the 2007 roster over the 2001 roster any day of the week.
But I think they have a roster now that's far and away better than 01.
No question.
But they lack some playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
We said it on defense, pass rush, secondary, no playmakers because they didn't have Vrabel, they didn't have Samuel.
And I think
they
that's what we talked about in the podcast, Paul.
It's so tenuous, too.
You guys just want to blow up the defense, huh?
No, I don't.
Totally
I don't,
overhaul?
I don't remember saying anything about a complete and total overhaul. I think we wanted to say we wanted to get younger.
We wanted to
continue the, it might have been like about Jason Taylor and stuff like that, but.
Now, you didn't say Sanders had to go, did you?
No, okay. No, I like James Sanders, but. I don't want to infringe on your territory and,
stay away
you know,
from James Sanders.
Be locked up for stalking. I just think that it's so tenuous when the games, how many games did we talk about this year that came down to a play that they just didn't make?
You know, more than half of them.
Miami, Indianapolis,
Denver.
You know, in 2001, they made those plays. Those plays, you know, whether
or
they
God
were
God made them for them.
Whether they were fortunate or just big plays that the Patriots came up with. Whatever way it was, when they needed a play to be made in a big game, the Patriots made it. This year, they didn't.
And you know, you're still
That's
thinking
not
about
because of the caliber of player.
Right. And you even now, when you watch these games, those situations come up, and you just expect them to make the play. And that's, I think, that's what kills people. Is,
and all the guys that made them are gone. Now you're the Colts. You don't have the guys that make them. You have Dallas Clark.
Yeah, I'm talking about specifically some of the fortunate God bless
you.
Some of the fortunate plays that they had go their way in 2001. Like, you know, the one that sticks out is always David Patton. That has nothing to do with talent.
But I'm not even talking about those. I'm talking about the old Troy Browns, Teddy Bruschi's, Rodney Harrison's make a play.
Yeah.
That's what they lacked a playmaker.
They did lack.
And you don't get those guys by just signing 25 free agents and hoping.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Who's that? John from Dallas is on the phone? Yes, John from Dallas. Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Good.
So are we at a point where we can talk about the draft or not yet?
No.
Sure. You can talk about the draft.
Let me guess. You want to talk about somebody with the last name Graham?
Maybe. But
so
I
predictable.
Heard someone mention Julius Peppers and Sergio Kindle, so I take that as the green light to talk about free agency and the draft.
Good, go.
Okay. If you were to, here's a kind of open-ended question. If you were to put your thumb on one major thing that's going to dictate what the Pats do in free agency and the draft, what would it be?
I think
they do the same thing every year. They're going to leave themselves open to any opportunity that becomes available. I think you can't put your thumb on what they're going to do because they've shown every year that they don't have one thing that they do. They do anything.
No, but I think because of the way the calendar is set up, you start with free agency because that's what comes first. If you address your biggest need in free agency, that alters the way you draft.
Right,
I think.
But you don't say, you know, this is what we're going to do and then we're going to do. You don't know what's going to you're going to be able to do in free agency until it happens. And then, yes, you're right. That does sometimes affect how you draft.
You make a plan A, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get a Julius Peppers in free agency. Then in the draft, if we get him, we'll do this, this, and that. If we don't get Peppers, then the draft changes and we do this, this, or this.
Sure. Everything that happens has an effect.
I guess my question is, maybe I didn't clarify it. My question was, what thing is currently under the Patriots' control that's going to dictate what they do in FA and the draft? I know the draft is in FA. It's all kind of, you know, all open right now, but I'm saying Well, what I was thinking was, I'll just give you my answer, I think, is I think the Wilfork situation is kind of the key to this whole offseason.
Well, it's the only thing they really can control. They either can tag him or decide not to. And I'm
right, but whether they do that or don't do that, right, let's say they do tag him.
Yeah.
Does it give them the flexibility to go out and sign somebody like Peppers who's going to demand a ton of money?
I don't think the Wilfork deal has as much effect on their other plans as you do. I think that that's one thing that, you know, they may or may not do. But, you know, signing Wilfork won't affect if they really want to have Peppers going after
right.
Peppers.
They're not.
Or if they really see another great nose tackle in the draft, getting that nose tackle. I don't think that the Wilfork deal is just something that they're going to have to take care of. But I don't think it's like if we do this, we can't do that. Or if we don't do this, we can. I don't think it's as big a factor as you think it is, John.
But why would it be? It's a $7 million salary. You
right,
just pay him.
Right.
You put
especially
it out there,
with
you
the uncapped
him.
Year.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's easy to me.
I think it's a big factor because even if they do remove the cap, I mean, the cap's going to come back at some point.
Yeah, right. But again, even if they franchise him, it's $7 million. And end of deal. It's done.
1 year.
1 year.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is well, hey, I guess you could approach it like that, right? You just franchise him and then you get 1 year out of him and then you see what happens next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You worry about this year. There may not be, right. There may not be any
and then
football
next year. There may be no market to signing him to a long-term lucrative extension.
Right. But so I think someone mentioned, too, maybe through email, that if they franchise him, the possibility of trading him. Well, actually, my question would be, if you think if they franchise him, you think he'll play or he'll sit out?
I think he'll play.
I think he'll play, and
I think he'll sit out for a while, and
I think they'll also make it clear to other teams that hey, we're willing to listen to any deal you want to tell us. You know, includes Vince Wilfork. You know, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think he'll play hardball for a while, though.
Yeah,
I think he'll hold out,
but I think he'll end up playing.
So you think? Okay, right. So yeah, okay. Well. It's an interesting situation because if he does hold out, we have no idea how long he could hold out for.
Mm-hmm. As long as 10 weeks.
Or the whole year. He wants to be really stubborn.
Yeah.
I don't see him doing that
because I think he loses a lot of money and he hurts himself more than he hurts the Patriots.
Well, it's not that much more money. If you sit out the first 10, completing the season is not that much. It's 6 more game checks.
Yeah, but it's four.
He doesn't need
a
year of service.
Dollars.
He loses a year of service for pension, but he doesn't need the year of service.
No, because
he's already a free agent. He'll be a free agent.
Yeah, but I could see him sitting out opening day. I could see him going that far, and then if he doesn't get anything, I don't see him sitting out.
I don't either.
Any longer than that.
Which is why it was debate Friday. He'll be in the lineup on opening day.
Of course, you threw the 10-week thing
on
there.
The draft. I know it's early for you guys, but
yeah, way too early.
Couple comments. First off, I don't want to see any offensive lineman drafted in the first round.
Well, I would agree with that any year.
Only want to see playmakers, right?
And, I agree.
Talking about for the league in general or the Patriots?
I don't care about the rest of the league.
I'm with you, John.
Actually,
totally
it'd be
on
great
board
if the rest of the league, 31 offensive linemen, you'd have your pick in the second round of great playmakers.
For that one quality offensive tackle that gets taken in the first round every year, I'll let someone else take him.
There's a run on tackles starting with number one.
And I'll take my Jag offensive tackle that there's really not that much difference between him and the franchise guy.
Yeah, assuming the Pats stay in the first round, don't trade out. My pick, and I've seen, you know, a lot of the, you know, analysts and stuff, and I think my pick would be if Graham falls that far. I don't think he'll fall that far given his Senior Bowl performance. I think he dominated.
Well, he won't be falling. I mean, he's a guy that was considered going into the Senior Bowl as a second-round pick, a second-round talent. He's been greatly compared to Lamar Woodley in that his talent is not first-round worthy, but that his motor, mental abilities, versatility could get him in the first round, and that very well may be true now coming off a absolutely impressive, dominant Senior Bowl, but he's a riser, not a faller.
Yeah,
he could
tank in the combine, he could do
sure.
awful,
he,
and then
he
his
probably
stock could
will.
Go all the way down. A lot can happen between now and April.
Because everybody assumes that his physical isn't wow, it's not Vernon Golston.
I wouldn't get your hopes up on anybody at this point in the process.
You guys will be going out for a long time, right?
Why are you emphasizing that? Are you trying to make me feel even worse about having to spend
February
the weekend?
February 24th to March 1st.
Cheese that. Andy's mad enough at me.
Fat boy over here has never been to Indy.
Only right, games.
Me.
How about Jimmy Graham? You like him?
Assuming that his stock I don't know, rises, which would put him somewhere in the first round.
Who, Jimmy?
How
Jimmy
about
or Brandon?
Hassan Graham?
Brandon Graham.
Oh, I thought we were talking Jimmy Graham now.
I don't even know who Jimmy Graham is.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought you were ready to talk about prospects. I don't know. I'm giving you a little prospect talk, and now you're not ready.
Okay, I'll do my research, all right? But no, I mean Brandon Graham. So if he falls, if he moves up into the first round, bottom half, and stays there, I'd take him.
Right? Over Kindle.
Absolutely over Kindle.
Why?
I live in Texas. I watch all the UT games the last, I don't know, decade, and Kindle does not impress me.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, he has flashes, but you know, a lot of times he's not even there.
He does smell a little bit like Vernon Golston.
But I think he's more, well. Yeah.
I didn't watch him a lot. I'm not going to pretend I did, but he did more than flash in the BCS title game.
No, I know, but that's a short. I mean, the guy was supposed to be God, first of all, going to Texas. He was mm-hmm. God.
I know. I know his
there's
story.
A little bit of didn't live up to the hype, isn't consistent enough at any one thing.
But taking the guy, see, I think that when you're talking about, you know, the potential for a bust, it is 22. It's not mm-hmm. 6 like Golston. I think there's a big difference there. Late in the first round, I think you're looking for a talented guy that flashed. I think you're looking for that.
Sure. That's how you got Lawrence Maroney.
All right, Jim from Dallas. Thanks for the John from
John,
Dallas. Thanks
for
the call.
By the way, Jimmy Graham,
yeah,
is a tight end out of Miami, a 1-year football player, basketball player. Everybody talks about the next Antonio Gates type. I believe he's 6'8". He'll probably shrink a little when he goes to the combine, but he's that power forward guy that everybody says the great tight ends are playing power forward. He's that guy.
Wow. Okay. Keep
Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates.
You guys have a strategy for when you go out the combine this year?
Well, I told Eric, I'm like Seau. I can only give him 2 good days at the combine, so he needs to tell me which days he needs help. Other than that, I got to rest.
Wow.
He's still a young man.
What do you think about this idea?
We make a reservation at St. Elmo's?
Well, that's where I was going.
Not yet.
Sometimes we have trouble where we only make out St. Elmo's reservations. The other nights we just try to go to a place, and sometimes we end up walking around because their place is a 2-hour. What do you think about us just putting in a standing reservation at Champs? Under a different name every night at 8 p.m.
Not a bad idea.
Mm. I think we might have to do that.
A good veteran move, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In case our other plans fall.
Under Scalavino one night, Lowe one night,
right.
Hart
sure.
one night.
Mm-hmm. Why do you have to change the name?
I don't know. Well, because they thought they'd get pissed if we didn't show up the first night and they saw the
yeah,
next night.
Yeah, and then
night
we did it the next
name
night.
There.
You know,
fair
hey,
point.
You know, I know you're going to laugh at me.
Yep.
Probably.
But we all agree, even though we don't like Bill Polian, he does a pretty darn good job drafting.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay. You know. Do you think that he has a competitive advantage with the fact that the combine's in his hometown?
No.
Not really.
No?
What would be some of the reasons that
I don't
you
know.
Think it is?
It's in his building. He, you know, I don't know.
That's but all you had is in his building.
Yeah, I don't want to laugh at you until I understand
I
what your thought process
stupid.
Is.
Do you think a...
Like what,
let
what,
me put it this
what
way.
Kind
Forget
of competitive...
about Bill Polian. Do you think there could be a competitive advantage derived from having the combine every year where you work?
Other than you can derive to the facility, no.
I just don't know what your point is in terms of what...
Nor does he.
What inside information are you getting because it's your building?
I don't know if about information or just a head...
If you were to somehow mic up the other rooms...
That's what I'm driving at.
Had all 31 claiming, rooms mic'd up and videotaped and knew exactly what every other team was thinking?
That would be an advantage.
Okay,
well,
Fred,
that,
I'm
that would
it.
Be cheating.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that I would mean, be the advantage. On just, the up and up, no, there's no advantage.
You don't think on the up and up you can get any kind of advantage?
No.
No.
You don't have to
no.
stay in a hotel. You can go home every night.
No.
You know,
no
nothing
God,
like
no.
that?
Yeah,
God,
I don't see where that would be an advantage. I
okay.
Don't.
So you don't think
I think
that
you could argue that it's a disadvantage.
Do you think that there's any... anything to having the combine in a different place every year?
No.
No.
You don't think that
the
would be good?
The combine is about convenience.
Yeah. And it's centrally
India
located.
Is centrally
having
located
the facilities
around the country.
And everything
yeah, but it's centrally located. Nobody can get a direct flight there.
We do.
We do.
Boston you get direct
to
flights
Boston
now?
Boston to Indy.
You just can't go from Providence, the little puddle jumper. No.
Okay, well. All right. Let's see.
Yeah, I think there are things that you could do that are crooked.
But I
that
think.
Could, but I think that you would be.
Cheating.
Stupid to do it because I think you'd be so easily caught.
Not and I'm not even talking about just NFL rules. Isn't like taping and audio stuff that gets into like
federal
FBI
people
federal
without their knowledge.
You're not cheating the league. You're cheating real life. You go to jail. You don't think people like you in jail.
That's assault, brother.
LT writes in. Firstly, these off-season shows have been some of the best material I've heard from you guys ever. It is absolute gold at the
tell
moment.
A friend. Tell a friend.
I agree. Yeah.
We need our ratings to continue.
Andy,
review period right around the corner.
Give me the pat on the back, Andy.
Leaping Lenny Puffo.
What chance do you think there is that Vince Wilfork is franchised and then traded? We talked about this. If this happens, what type of deal?
27.
What type of deal 16. Do you think this 2. Would be?
I don't think he's going to be traded. I do think it's 100% that he'll be franchised.
Do you think that we could get a top 10 pick for Wilfork?
No.
Top 10 pick.
No.
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 Also, with early draft preparations underway, it seems that there is some top-end defensive tackle talent available this year if we do end up dealing Vince away. Just to finish up, how would you feel trading Brady for Mark Sanchez and Darrell Revis?
No.
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 That didn't take long, huh?
But, again, I think if you sign Wilfork and you still see a defensive tackle you want, that's not going to stop you from getting him.
Right.
No, but he's saying you'd use Wilfork to get the pick to get either McCoy or Sue or one of those top five
to
guys.
To move up that high.
Right. That's why he said, can you get a top 10 pick? But when you say that signing Wilfork wouldn't prevent you from doing something else, do you mean the franchise tag or signing him to an extension?
Either one.
I think signing him to an extension, if it's the extension that Wilfork wants, is going to prohibit you from doing a lot of other things.
Why?
I'm just basing it on history.
Because there would be, you would expect there to be a cap reinstituted after this year, and you might be a little bit hamstrung, depending on how they structure that.
You're
going to
sign
contract.
Brady.
I know, but they've got...
And, you,
so,
and you have
they're
Brady
handing out
$60
million.
That's part of what I'm getting at.
Money.
There's only so much money they're going to throw out.
I know, but at one time, you know, before they traded Seymour, they had 3 first-round draft picks on that defensive line.
Right. How many of were guaranteed $35
million? No, but they re-signed Seymour. You know, and I think they want to get back to that. I think that they, if you
they
can have
Warren too.
If you can have a defensive line and an offensive line in this league that you don't have to worry about, that's better than the other team, you're going to win a lot of football games. That's your foundation.
You see, you're missing my point. I'm not advocating not signing Wilfork by any stretch of the imagination. I'm saying if you do sign him to what I think Wilfork is looking for, and that's in the neighborhood of $35 million guaranteed over the first 3 years, I think that will prevent you from doing some other things. Not everything, but Andy brings up a great point. You have to do it to Brady, too.
Right.
How much money do you have?
Right. And that's a given. I mean,
it's not about uncapped or capped. It's about how much money do you have to spend in a given year.
You're potentially talking
everybody
about
has
$160 million that you'd be tied to in those two guys in some layout or somewhere.
Now, if
in that
you're
range.
Talking about the franchise for Wilfork, that's just $7 million. I don't think that prohibits you from doing anything.
No.
It's a one-time $7 million hit. That's a high salary, but it's not going to prevent you from doing anything in the future. It's not tying up money in the future.
Right. Well, we'll see.
I mean, everybody has a budget, Fred,
but
especially
I think,
right now with the economy. I think this uncapped year is going to be interesting.
You know, but I just think that, you know, at one time, one of the strengths of this, every year we'd go in talking about the defense, and go, well, we don't have to worry about the defensive line.
Well, now you do.
And now we do.
Right.
Because you traded Seymour.
You know, now we do.
Right. No, you're right.
Well, Seymour got older, and, you know, things evolved. No, seriously.
Seymour got older.
Seriously.
But, Fred.
How old is he?
Here's the thing about that. Last year at this time, you would have said we don't have to worry about the defensive line.
30, isn't he?
29
correct?
Or 30, I believe. How old is he?
Last year at this time, would you have said that we had to worry about the defensive line?
No.
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 So it's kind of disingenuous to say, well, he got older, and
well,
so now we'd have to worry about it if he was still here? No, we wouldn't.
Last year we were arguing about who you'd resign.
No, we wouldn't.
Seymour would be older. Warren's getting older. You know,
so we wouldn't. We didn't
have
worry
to worry
about
signing Wilfork.
We didn't worry about it last February, but we do worry about it this February.
Sure, every year it adds up.
If they were still
you get
here.
Older,
that's how you get age.
You get older.
It's unbelievable.
You know, they have to start thinking about
God
that.
God help poor Brady if he.
Well, they did.
His team.
They drafted Ron Brace in the second round.
Yeah,
and, right.
Yeah, that didn't work out. All right. Zach in Syracuse, have you guys checked out Parrish Cox?
Oh, God.
He's a corner from Oklahoma State. He looks like quite the athlete and is also a talented kick punt returner. Could
Andy
probably
will have a lot of fun with his name.
Eric, what do you think of Cox?
Could probably Parrish get him from one of the later second rounders.
I love Cox.
Doc should know. He's a, oh, no. Where's he
loves
from?
Cox.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
Doc, you love Cox,
our
right?
Our show should make Cox bigger.
Why are you shaking your head?
I don't.
Don't what?
Don't shake your head at me.
All right. 508-543-7482 is the
Come
phone
on,
number.
Paul,
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's take a quick break.
Calhoun
we'll
thing.
Be right back.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass., and is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
You know, you don't want to be so big and stiff. You know, come season time, you want to be able to loosen up. And I never like to get too big and stiff anyway. I always try to be, you know, more athletic and more lean and, you know, keeping my ability to move.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right.
At his age, it's amazing he can still move.
I was going to say it's too bad he got old.
He's in your wheelchair?
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Someday. You'd be saying, wow, that was a great move to get that pick.
Don't misunderstand me saying that I thought it was a bad trade, because I think it was a good trade. In terms of value, I think getting a first-round pick for Seymour was a good trade.
Yeah.
You essentially,
the longer you wait, the less that you're going to get if you try to trade him.
But
right.
I also think
you might want a playoff game.
But I don't think there was anything wrong with holding on to him and continuing what your philosophy was, Fred, and that was we don't have to worry about our defensive line, because I didn't have any worries about my defensive line at this time last year.
Sam in Chicago says, thanks for another great show.
Hello, Sam.
Sorry to hear Christina has left for the West Coast.
You interested?
Let me know if you need any voiceovers, intros, or general Eric stroking.
I could use some of that.
Eric.
Eric doesn't care. He does like it when people named Sam stroke him, but.
Oh, God almighty. You really are going to hell.
Yeah. No, he's already there.
Wow.
And he's bringing me with him. Making my life hell.
Question, what veteran receiver would you like to see in the silver and blue this coming fall in Foxborough?
Any
Anquan
receiver?
Anquan Boldin.
Because I'll take Andre Johnson.
Well, okay, let's say.
How about Quasi available?
Andy's looking for a Johnson.
How about Quasi available?
I like Johnson.
Anquan Boldin.
He's no Cox, but... I'm not in love with Anquan Boldin. I take him.
I like Boldin, but I'm not sure he's available.
How about Malcolm Floyd?
Kasim
Osgood. Chance to be a big play. No. Give him a chance to be a big play guy opposite Moss.
I'd rather have Vincent Jackson than floor. Well, they're both in the same position.
Yeah, I know, but I think one could be more easily had.
Perhaps.
One's a Pro Bowler, one's his sidekick. Mm.
Well, one's better than the other, I agree.
Right.
But, I mean, what are they going to get tendered?
I don't know.
What if they both tendered the same?
No, but I think Vincent Jackson you could be competing for. There might be four trades on the table for him. Malcolm Floyd, you might be able to sneak in the back door and take him away. Right? Or the Chargers just might flat out be keeping Vincent Jackson and not be willing to give up.
I just think the whole restricted free agent process is a hard one to read. I mean, I think it's hard to get a restricted free agent.
See, I think Floyd will be gettable.
Okay. Let's say potential is exactly the same. And you're in the first round and you're faced and you have a running back, a wide receiver, a cornerback. You know, all three same potential. Which one do you pick if you're the Patriots? Running back, wide receiver, or cornerback?
I'll go corner.
Probably.
You would go corner. Corner.
Yeah, probably yeah. Corner.
I think defense is a bigger problem than offense.
Yeah.
Okay, now add in a pass rusher.
Pass rusher.
Pass rusher.
Pass rusher,
the first one.
Makes it easy.
Running back wouldn't even enter into my equation.
No?
What level are we talking about here?
He said all...
First round potential.
I know, but I have
He said they're all the same.
Yeah. Equally projected to be...
Great.
Yeah.
I
might go receiver.
I wouldn't piss and moan if they drafted a receiver, but I think a cornerback would be a better pick.
If I could guarantee he's going to be great, which is kind of what your scenario implies,
yeah.
I have if I can get my Moss replacement, then I would get him. Because I think you need to replace Moss.
Now, of those positions,
I think you do too.
Of those positions, which of them have the hardest time breaking into the NFL and being good right away? Those four positions.
Running back's the easiest.
Receiver.
Running back would be the only one I think that hasn't had an issue.
Right. Wide receiver has been hit or miss. There's been some great rookie receivers, and there's been some god-awful.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, that even though wide receiver's way up there in the need list, do you risk a first-round pick on a wide receiver?
I think it's riskier than...
You know, when you have those other needs, you need a quarterback. You need, you know, a running back. You need a pass rusher.
You just said that they were great.
They're great projected, but you don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of guys that were great projected don't really pan out. And my point is, in wide receiver, that's the toughest one to make an immediate impact.
I don't think so.
It isn't?
I think all positions are tough to make an immediate impact, except for running back. I think running back is that one spot that you can kind of step in. Mm. If you got it, you got it. There's been corners that have stepped in, and there's been corners that have struggled for 3 years.
Right, yeah. Right.
I think there are a lot of high-profile wide receivers that have struggled in the first round. I'm not denying that.
But why did Jags come in and catch 70 balls like Marcus Colston?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because you pick the right one to fit your system from the right system, the transition. It all comes into play. You know, just like corner. If you pick a guy who's great in man coverage in college and you run all zone, and then you're stunned that he's not that good in his first year as he tries to play zone, well, that's your fault. You didn't pick the right guy.
You know, San Francisco picks Rashawn Woods in the first round 1 year. And he's out of the league 3 years later, 2 years later. And as Andy said, Marcus Colston gets picked in the seventh round. Yeah. He's a perennial Pro Bowler.
So using your scenario,
still around, right?
I assume we'd be picking
was
the right
bit of
guy.
A different situation because
the right corner, the right running back, and the right receiver. So I would take the receiver because I think you need to replace Randy Moss and Wes Welker.
You're assuming he's going to make the immediate impact. I understand.
Well, I'm kind of using your
I just
theory.
Think the defense is in need more need of help than the offense. I think the offense struggled up to their standards, but the offense to me was still good in 2009. The defense wasn't.
The trouble is, the offense in 2010 will not have Welker and Moss Bate be the Moss you saw for a month in 2009, not the guy you saw early on who was productive.
That's a good
point. Does Brady need necessarily, you know, the big impact blue chipper? Is that more of a need than an impact on defense? And can you settle with just the right guys for Brady?
You know, a little bit
better than Rishae Caldwell, but not as good as Randy Moss.
Yeah, in other words, can you get Deion Branch in the second round and take the corner in the first?
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But you also probably could get by taking the stud in the first round for wide receiver and getting Darius Butler again in the second round.
Right.
Or signing Mike Vrabel.
I think you could do it
either
way.
And getting the pass rusher, the linebacker, as a Jag guy who you happen to hit on. Bottom line is you need to hit with what you get.
Well, they got those three picks in the second round. You got to hit on at least two of them. You really do.
They hit on two of four this year.
Yeah.
Right.
It looks that way, yeah. And maybe three. You know, I'm not ready to write Chung off yet.
You like him, huh?
No, not particularly. But I'm not ready to write him off as a player.
Ask him on Thursday, Paul.
I'll get him on Thursday.
Why, what's happening on Thursday?
That's what he always
says.
That's
the only time Chung talks.
Every time I try to talk to him, he told me he'd get me on Thursday.
In-demand Pat Chung, who DNP CD, only talks on Thursdays.
As he's blaring his iPod throughout the locker room with... Nah, never mind.
You know, we haven't talked at all...
With what?
About the CBA.
I know where you were going.
Owners are supposed to be sitting down at some point this week.
Also, some news today.
Yeah.
Special master, which I want to attain that title at some point in my life. Stephen...
Libation at the end.
It's got it. Ruled that they cannot... They were planning on doing away with revenue sharing.
Yeah.
He said you can't do that. There's no wording in the CBA that says because it's an uncapped year, you can get rid of the revenue share.
Wait, go. The owners want to get rid of revenue sharing?
For this
not
year,
only did they want uncapped. To, they were getting rid of it. They had already said we're getting rid of it.
Yeah,
we're not sharing revenue. So we wouldn't be writing a check, and the Jags wouldn't be getting a check. But Special Master Steven something, not Marbury. He keeps, I think it's Marbury.
Burkett, I think.
Burbank.
Maybe.
Burbank, yeah.
California.
Good doc.
$220 million revenue sharing will be in effect for this year, mm-hmm. meaning we'll have to write a check, and the Jags will get a check but don't have to spend it because there's no floor in an uncapped year.
I thought there is a floor, no?
In an uncapped year, there's no floor and no ceiling.
No, what about the 30-60? What you mean? You guys didn't learn about that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And you're confusing individual contracts with a cap and no cap.
Am I confusing something? Okay.
The Jacksonville Jaguars can go out there and field a minimum roster team if they would like.
The 30-60 thing applies to the individual's contract.
Okay.
The floor and ceiling applies to the entire payroll for the
theoretically,
roster.
If you wanted to save a ton of money this year,
you could.
You could sign 53 players at the minimum, what, 320,
320
I think?
For a rookie.
For the minimum salary for a first-year player is, I think, $320,000. You could sign 53 players and pay them $320,000.
You have to cut all the guys on your team, and you'd have
to
dead
cut
money
everybody
and, stuff,
and all that.
And you'd be 0-16, but
and your fans would hate you,
right?
Do they really love him now in Jacksonville?
Well, I heard if they bring Tim Tebow in, they'll be happy about that.
Not for long.
Not for long.
Right up until the first game they see him play.
Until he has to play.
Well, there was a report out of Jacksonville that season ticket hold sales are very brisk.
Yeah, it was like 1,300 up from zero. It was.
I don't know.
We have about
you don't know from
10 those. Times the listeners right now that they have season ticket holders.
That's a good point.
But his Senior Bowl, we talked about Graham was one of the stars defensively. Tim Tebow sucked.
Not good.
Sucked.
Not good.
Couldn't run.
LaFever
fumbled
had
twice,
a pretty good.
Was phenomenal. Game. He throws a nice deep ball, many of them to Gilliard, the kid out of Cincinnati.
Marty, he's a good player.
But Tebow,
he's a pretty good story
bad.
Too. You know that story.
Which
about
one? Little Marty?
Yeah, he lost
his mother was
going
to abort him.
He
had had four jobs. Tebow. He was working.
Yeah, he had to work four jobs to after he lost his scholarship to be able to continue to play, and now he's one of the better wide receiver prospects.
Is he living in a van?
Probably.
Down by the river. They do have a river in Cincinnati, right?
Sure they do.
Queen City River?
Yeah, something like that.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
It was Riverfront Stadium.
That's true.
Back in the day.
Yeah. One of the cookie-cutter ballparks.
That is correct.
Right. Three River, Riverfront, what was the third?
The Veteran.
That's
stadium.
Right. Veterans Field. Whatever.
Stadium.
How come it didn't have River in the headline?
All right, web radio
at
Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. There's
Big
a few, but they're
fan.
They're very long, and I don't want to read them.
Yeah, get to the point.
Summarize
them.
It's just really, really, really
Are you
long.
You that sick that you can't even read an email? Yeah.
Did anyone watch the Pro Bowl?
No.
Paul?
Actually, I watched.
No, evidently everybody else did, but me because the ratings were through the roof.
I didn't watch either.
I watched it till the Grammys.
I heard Makins recovered a fumble.
Yeah, that was
at the end,
I didn't
fourth
see that.
Quarter.
Yeah.
Game-saving play for the AFC.
Any Patriots do anything remarkable?
Vince Wilfork's name did not even appear in the stat sheet.
He brother-in-lawed
it. Nothing.
He was dancing left to right. Ooh, play
Brandon
Patty
Merriweather Patrick. Had three tackles, one for a loss.
But he did do his U celebration
who,
coming up.
Who won?
Out.
AFC.
Matt Schaub 40, was
41-34.
41-34.
I heard that Merriweather had a chance to really kill Jason Witten and wisely decided to pull up so he didn't do the Sean Taylor and kill a defensive
not that you would have known anyway because he would have just
he would have bounced off.
Off.
I'm not sure he would have killed him.
You can't play game half speed. It's just not football when you do that.
It was
and yet 71,000 people paid to go and see it.
Is that right?
Did they really?
Well, they were in attendance supposedly.
Yeah.
No? Good news out of Florida, though.
Yes.
Dale Earnhardt?
There are reports out that Super Bowl week is already better than last year. A lot of parties that went away last year in the tough economic times have returned. There's more parties this year, more money being pumped in.
Bad news out of Florida. It's been raining constantly since the Colts got there.
And the quote-unquote tough economic times.
Parties are back,
away.
Baby. Parties are back.
Drink. What a joke.
Class of 2010 announcement, Saturday, 5 p.m.
Okay.
Imagine if it rains during the Super Bowl again in Miami like it did last time.
That would suck.
Like
the Colts there.
Like it never, like...
Colts are bringing some
bad
luck.
That never happens. I know it rains in Miami like in the afternoon a lot during the summer, but that's very rare for that time of year to be...
Like if an undefeated team goes to Arizona for a Super Bowl and it never rains there.
And then
we get off the plane,
it pours.
3 inches of rain.
That's right.
Yeah, but it's not like...
And it was
chilly. It's not like it rained the whole week.
60s and raining when we got there.
Yeah,
the
you
next
have to
day,
go buy an Orvis sweatshirt.
The next day, the Giants arrived, warm, sunny.
We should have known.
All black, because they were going to a funeral.
Going to a funeral.
And they did.
Sons of...
A perfect season died in the desert.
All right, well...
Is that dialect again?
If you have NFL Network now, you can get wall-to-wall coverage of the Super Bowl week festivities. Right now, they're at Media Day.
Won't be good coverage, but it'll be wall-to-wall.
Sapp and Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders, I don't like when he interviews people because he wants to be the guy. You know, he wants to be the focus of the attention.
I don't like it because he owns
very distracting.
Prime U and has a disgusting conflict of interest with his relationships with agents and draft preparation and all that, and yet they still put him on the air and let him promote his own business interests. It's disgusting.
Yep.
You really don't want to read emails. You'll just say, TV now. We got."
He's actually watching TV. And
Warren Sapp is drinking out of his cup, and there's a guy with an ugly hat. And I mean,
sponsored by Golden Corral. Have you been to a Golden Corral?
I'd like to be to a Golden Corral. Not a food one. It sounds like a strip joint. So.
There are no short emails you can read?
You ever notice at home?
You ever notice?
the mirror in your bathroom, you look better than that than other mirrors that you look in?
You don't.
We need your mirror then.
Does yours make you skinny, less hairy?
No.
You never noticed
taller?
That? I don't know. You never, Paul?
No.
Paul's doesn't. He admitted he saw himself as a fat bastard in his mirror because he is indeed a fat bastard.
You know, you share things with Andy in confidence.
Andy thought he had a funhouse mirror for the first 10 years of his life, and then he finally realized that, no, his head really is that big.
Your mom likes my head.
Oh, wow.
He really is going to hell.
Yeah, he is.
What? I met her once on the street, and she complimented me on a nice symmetrical head.
Right.
All right, well, that's going to do it.
Really
we
just waste 4 minutes left in the show.
Read long emails. I don't understand. Why will you not participate in this show?
We get a compliment that this is our best material ever, and you ruin it by petering out at the end.
No,
are you that sick that you can't read?
I am pretty sick.
Why waste your valuable time because this man simply cannot read?
And he's making the rest of us sick.
Dexter Manley.
Plus, it's the end of the show, so...
Couldn't read.
Still have 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
So fill the 2 minutes by reading one of them.
I'll read one. Mock drafts.
Watch it be terrible.
Well, okay.
I did that on purpose.
Adam says, I wanted to get your opinion on the mock drafts article that is on the Patriots Lite app. App is great, by the way. I see most of them have us taking Sergio Kindle and Ricky Sapp, both of which I think are solid picks, especially Kindle, although I don't know much about either.
I think they're both solid picks, but I don't know anything about them.
I told you I shouldn't have read. Any initial thoughts on these guys? Also, after hearing his name called all the time throughout the season, what about Brandon Graham? He was apparently almost unblockable in Senior Bowl practices and won the Senior Bowl MVP. I would still like to see his combine, although I don't put too much stock in it, and get more opinions, but I think we should take him. He seems like a great fit for the 3-4-D, and most importantly, could generate a serious pass rush. Also, any chance there will be a Patriots Radio iPhone app? I would love to be able to hear the show live without a computer.
What do you say?
It's coming.
It is? Really?
It'll be coming this spring.
Really?
Ability to listen.
On just an iPhone or on all
phones? I don't know about live.
I think that's what he was looking for.
In fact, I believe he said
I'd love to listen live. It's possible.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
You getting an iPad?
No.
Why not?
I don't need it. It's really, they didn't come up with anything that said to me, I need this.
It was a lot like that two-wheel vehicle. It just, all the hype, and then the announcement came, and you're like,
saw the Segway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was going to revolutionize travel. It's a gimmick.
The only time I've ever seen those used...
in the hotel in Phoenix?
Force was
Super Bowl.
It's the Super Bowl.
Those dudes could effing fly.
And they worked well.
Oh, yeah. I think they work well, but...
But that's the only time I've ever seen them really in a practical application.
He's going to buy
One of the obstacles to that is you need a city to say these are okay to be used on the sidewalk, and most cities say no. You know, you can run people over on those things.
They fly. They go fast. And they're quiet, so they can sneak up on
you.
Right.
Now, those guys in Arizona were moving.
Yeah, so... But, yeah, the iPad, it's a nice device.
It's a nice
piece. I have an iPhone. I have a laptop. I don't need an iPad. It's just, I just don't have a need for it.
Rule number 27.
You're menstruating, do you?
Oh, man.
Wow.
What?
I hate the name.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW Progress. Sorry about the ending. we'll make up for it on Thursday. Until then.
I doubt it.
Somebody send lunch.
See you later.